If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
If you are black, Italian, Asian, Irish, or gay, our apologies in advance.
And they want us to leave. That's what they want us to do. And I think the world would be better off if we did leave. If we left, the world would be worse.
Trust me, because I've been doing this a long time. You are not cut out for this.
I would call that pure malarkey.
And what about, what was I going to ask you? I forget what I was going
to
ask you.
I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it. To me, it had everything.
Drivers!
How wet are you right now?
I'm dangerously dry.
Two cheers for Lisa. Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
Now, deep breath and quiet.
Hi, this is Omar, and Ralph's Showbiz Report is up next.
And now.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you on K-Rock. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's this, a band. yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Everybody, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 5:31. Sorry, I was talking to Psycho Mike, and then I heard now our feature presentation, and I realized, hey, that's my cue.
Oopsies.
Well,
it's a new way we start the show. I can understand how it's a little confusing to get used to.
Well, when you start, you know, in the new year, you change everything up.
Yeah, that's what we did.
You start going through all your old habits, and then you realize that's not going to work.
Sure.
Yeah, we're throwing Kevin a curveball early here this morning. Like
that's right.
It's a lot to adapt to.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, 5:31. It's Thursday, and it's the 4th of January. Can I again, and I know I've said this 1,000 times, can I request that we try and find another sound effect?
That window is closed right now.
Because, open. Because vagina is it's a beautiful thing, and that sound is really not beautiful.
You don't know
at all
what was going on when that sound was being recorded. It was beautiful. Trust me on that. It was beautiful.
Vagina, 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 vagina.
Vagina.
I miss, on a related topic, I miss Miss Double December. What do you suppose she's doing right now?
Psycho Mike had dinner with her.
Yeah, I do.
No, he had dinner with the... The old Miss
Oh, the old, I see what you're saying. You mean this year's?
Oh, our new one.
Yeah,
I don't
Miss
know.
Lauren.
We should check in with her.
She's probably sleeping right now since it's 5:32, and she's probably dreaming of us.
Yeah.
Naked?
Yeah, we're naked. In her dreams, yeah.
We're both. I mean, she could be...
Oh, her
I mean,
naked.
Her
I'm sorry.
Naked.
Oh, yeah.
Naked.
Yeah.
I don't know if she is or not. It's a good question.
We're still getting to know her.
I'm going to go with yes.
Okay.
I hope so. I don't know. It just seems like we need some sort of occasion where she has to be there. That's all I'm saying.
Just something soon that just say, hey, we're going to be broadcasting live from our K-Rock studios tomorrow.
She's your Miss Double D. You can command her, I think, to show up wherever you want.
That is my plan.
Wow, Lisa's finally got a good attitude.
Exactly. All right. Well, I was just thinking about her this morning, you know, for about 8 minutes. And I was just wondering, you know, what she's up to. That's all.
Yeah.
So we got to, like you said, we got to come up with some reason to get the gang back together. That's all I'm saying.
You made it 8 minutes, did you?
New record.
Yeah, that's a bit of a surprise. Let's talk about food and this stupid little, what is this, Psycho Mike? This Nature Valley Oats and Honey Bar.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. I didn't have milk this morning for cereal. And, well, the date was January 1st, so I figured I probably shouldn't try it.
You're not like Bean. You don't chocolate it up.
If it's in the fridge, it's good for 5, 6, 7 days after the date that's printed on the carton.
That's
for real.
That's Bean's theory. But, see, you know, I remembered you saying that, and I smelled it, and you could kind of smell when it's...
Right, you can.
You can definitely smell when it's bad.
Absolutely.
And it's just kind of a difficult scale to figure out, like, how long it's been. It was January 1st, it's January 4th. 3 days later to me.
Yeah, maybe you're pushing it.
And, of course, it was in the fridge, but I just couldn't do it. So my chocolate Lucky Charms that are magically delicious, they were lonely this morning. So I got a couple of these little things to eat. These little Oats and Honey Nature Valley.
Right. There's two bars in there, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they are made out of drywall.
Yes.
They're made out of drywall, and then they're surrounded by sandpaper. That's what they
make. I've had them on occasion because they're attractively packaged and everything in the name sounds like it should be tasty and delicious.
Yes.
Yet you put it in your mouth and it is like falling face first into the beach. I mean, it really is just like sucking up sand.
Hey, have a mouthful of sand.
Yep, that's exactly what it tastes like, a mouthful of sand.
And like there's a tiny little drop of water and you put a sponge on it, it sucks it up. This is the driest food that has ever existed. And it starts immediately sucking the moisture out of your body. First your tongue. Mm-hmm. Which turns into just a piece of wood. And then your entire... Now my fingers feel dry. My toes are dry. It literally is the black hole of moisture when you put that in your mouth.
You shouldn't eat that in winter.
Moisture just leaves you and goes into it. And then when you're out of moisture, it starts...
I can tell. Listen to him talk. Your tongue sounds...
He's got no saliva.
Yeah. I'm not kidding. It's the driest food ever.
We have to get you an IV stat.
If you were to put some water on these, they would be like giant 2x4s.
They ought to send them to Colorado and Nebraska and use them to suck up all that snow.
Yes.
You could probably clear like 20 acres with one of those Nature Valley bars.
Any kind of flooding, you know, when that horrible Katrina happened in New Orleans, you take two of these.
Yep.
Sit them out in the street and they will just suck up every bit of water. It's unbelievable how dry they are.
I don't know how they are able to make them that dry and still have them hold together in a bar. It seems like you need a certain amount of stickiness, some sort of moisture that would keep it together, but it doesn't...
A little bit wet.
Yes? I was going to say, they can continue to make crappy product and still flourish as a business because that's the thing that's in the machine, you know,
the vending machine
that you look at and you go, well, it's not a Snickers bar.
Right. It looks healthy.
It's not total crap. It might be healthy. It has granola in it. And so people always buy that.
Right.
I mean, it's just they have a monopoly on the fake healthy food.
Right. Well, it's not really healthy, is it?
It's oats and honey. So it must be good for me.
It's oats and honey and tree bark and fillers and maltodextrin and hell and death.
And hell and
just
death.
Just ate hell and death.
I did.
Are they really not good for you at all?
No.
Because they kind of advertise as being some sort of a healthy snack.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They give you the image, the appearance of being healthy.
But Mike, they still are better than a Snickers bar,
yeah,
aren't
but
they?
There's also in our vending machine peanuts. Plain peanuts. That's your best option.
No, Snickers is your best option. But then if you can't get Snickers, then you go, I went with this just because I didn't have the milk. There's no way I would put something like this in my mouth, which now is the driest mouth ever.
And by the way, they're so... how much better it is for you is so marginal that you might as well just eat a Snickers.
And satisfy your craving.
Exactly, because at least it tastes good.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. All right. I'm going for the Snickers.
You have a pipe break? Put one of these little bars right out there. Suck the water right up.
It's a plumbing tool.
There's just nothing drier.
Somebody give Kevin some water, by the way. It is tough to listen to him like this.
He's got some.
I had a bottle of water in my car, and I ate this, and I had to drink the water as I was eating.
To wash it down?
Man, this is dry. There's no possible way to even swallow it. So I drank a bottle of water all the way here. Halfway through, I finished this dryness. And I kept drinking and kept drinking. It doesn't work.
Can't satisfy it.
I am now I'm down on my moisture. No way to ever bring it back up.
You're parched for life.
My God, those are dry. I mean, these are not wet. That's what I'm saying. They have no moisture in them.
No, they are dry.
I think I'm getting the point.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
Okay.
We're going to drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about bad holidays. I can't wait for this. This is, it's always funny when bad things happen to other people, especially if it's you. And then you call us and you tell us exactly what happened.
And
we all laugh and have a good time at your expense. And the reason we bring this up is because God hates Bean. And God's been trying to kill Bean for quite some time. And over the holidays, Bean's car was demolished by a tree that fell on it.
First it hit the house.
Yes.
Then it hit the car.
Now, most of the time when you think tree, you think, oh, a branch poked through the window or a branch. This is the main trunk part of the tree that just pretty much split his car in two.
Yeah, it was about an 80-foot hemlock tree. And, you know, I live in Washington where there are a lot. I mean, I have trees that are 150 feet in my yard, you know, and no place is really safe. You know, they always can reach something and kill you. And fortunately, that didn't happen. Nobody got killed, didn't hit any of the livestock or anything. But, yeah, right off the roof and took off the side of the house and then went right through the Volkswagen Beetle. And the pictures are up at KROQ.com. You can actually see what that devastation looked like.
Yeah, you go to KROQ.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and then sites. Click on sites. Sites means pictures.
So what you're suggesting is that that's a good example as a kickoff to maybe you go into the Christmas holiday thinking great things are going to happen and then not so much.
What I'm suggesting is there's less moisture in the oats and honey than there should be.
That's what I'm suggesting. I have a question for you, Bean, because I was curious about this the whole time. You are so addicted to the internet and television and, you know, outside world media and stuff like that. What was worse for you, having your car crushed by a big tree or not having the internet and television for a long period of time?
Oh, there's no question. I would have set my car on fire in order to keep my internet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I had no the losing the car was you know, the most visible sign of the problem we had. But it was a, you know, 90 mile an hour windstorm. We had no power for 7 days, no phone or internet for 9.
Wow.
So
really?
Yeah, it was a tough vacation.
God is usually more accurate than that.
No. You mean he could have hit me?
Hit me? He's obviously trying to kill you. He hit the house with the tree. He hit the car with the tree. He was covering his bases, but you were hiding at that point.
Well, I think that depriving Bean of the internet was his final.
That could be.
Attempt to kill Bean, which maybe another day or two it would have worked.
Which may work. Yeah.
With no power, by the way, comes no great responsibility. No. With no power comes no heat and no hot water, too.
Wow.
Awesome.
So it was like camping. I mean, it was rough. I mean,
that sucks.
There were, I'll mention this later because we're running out of time here, but there were over 1,000 people that had to go to emergency rooms because of, you know, setting up grills and whatnot in their houses and getting carbon monoxide poisoning. I mean, quite a few people died. Over 200 had to go in that hyperbaric chamber to try, you know, to put oxygen back into their blood cells because they're just using anything they could for heat. I mean, I wasn't alone. There were hundreds of thousands of people who were without power for a very long time.
How many people were in the emergency room for eating Nature Valley oats and honey? How many people were sitting there just dried up prunes? Somebody just throw a bucket of water on me.
Maybe that's what happened to Joan Rivers, by the way, if you look at her. Maybe she's actually only 25 years old, but she had a Nature Valley bar.
Just half of one is all it would have taken. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about Pat Robertson, the televangelist. He's the head of the 700 Club, one of those shows on TV, and he is crazy out of his mind. He says he always talks to God. And now he's got some predictions for 2007. And one of his I'm not even going to tell you one of his predictions because we're going to do it soon.
Okay.
Just after 6 a.m. you'll hear Pat Robertson and his predictions for 2007, which are spectacular. We're going to give away some Kings tickets to see them play the Detroit Red Wings this set. Hang on.
Oh, my.
I don't even think this is good. I don't think you're going to be able to drink enough water this morning.
Kings versus Red Wings? Yeah, I know. It'll take about a week.
I think.
We're going to give you some tickets to that in the 6 o'clock hour. You got to earn them by playing a game. We're going to do a new feature called The Best of the Smoking Gun. And we've got the K-Rock World Tour, destination number one, going, which is My Chemical Romance. And that is in Glasgow, Scotland. And you can keep listening for your chance to win tickets to the local show and qualify for that trip to Scotland, which we're going to do the drawing for tomorrow morning at 7:15.
What about Lisa's favorite segment of this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, the one she can't wait for so she can make appointments for her dogs to get massages?
The dog massages. That's right.
We're going to call the Ritz-Carlton, and they're going to tell us that you can get your dog massaged.
For $115. What a bargain.
Yep. So we'll talk to them today. That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's Showbiz Beat is next. The Nature Valley Barge, not quite as moist as you'd like.
I'm not getting the point.
It's a little dry.
You need to touch on this more, I think.
That's okay. Let me write that down. More Nature Valley.
More Nature Valley talk.
What?
2007,
Kevin,
you're already out of material, apparently, because you did 20 minutes on a Klondike bar or whatever the hell you did.
I wish it was a Klondike bar. I almost died on the way in, and you don't care. What does it take to interest you?
Not what? More than lack of moisture, I guess.
Oh.
I don't think Ralph understands how dry it is, though.
That's
it's like eating sand, is what we're saying, Ralph.
But sand that sucks up water. See, there's a difference. Sand kind of repels water. We're talking about sand that fills up to the size of like 15 basketballs or something. That's how much water because it's that dry.
Oh, do you want to try one? 15 basketballs worth?
Do you want to try a bite of it?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay.
Why does Kevin sound good?
Kevin said, I will be down of moisture forever.
I will be.
He sounds drunk, which is hilarious because he's just dehydrated.
Guys, I always sound.
Is he exhausted as well?
He might be. He may be a big enough celebrity to be both. I don't know. It's 5:51. What does Pat Robertson, the televangelist, think we are in store for in 2007? He's spoken with God. We'll get his predictions coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with our first look at the showbiz news.
More celebrity breakups and engagements. Apparently, Vanessa Marcil, who stars on Las Vegas over there on NBC, she got engaged on New Year's Eve. That's got to be a popular time to pop the question, right?
Oh, yeah.
Probably the most, right? Yeah.
I would think.
I think Christmas is number one, Valentine's, and then Valentine's, yeah.
And then New Year's.
And then New Year's, yeah, right.
See that college football player dude who went to the sidelines and proposed to his cheerleader girlfriend if they won the big game?
It made me sad because they're like 21.
That's as good as their life's ever going to get.
She said no.
She said yes. Come on. TVGuide.com says Vanessa won't say exactly who popped the question, however, but she is engaged.
That means she did.
That is protecting your... No, they won't say who the boyfriend is.
I don't know
who she's getting married to.
I got you.
So that's keeping your private life private.
Sure.
Good for her. However, on the other side, the flip side of the coin... Oh, this is good news.
Yeah?
Emily DeRaven, the Australian actress who plays Claire over there on Lost... She and her husband, Jeff, were only married for 6 months and have no children, and they split up this weekend, so...
Well, they tried,
Ralph. She's back on the market. Hey, look. Don't look a gift Aussie in the mouth, I always say. Justin Timberlake and Cameron Diaz, as I mentioned yesterday, rumors are swirling about them splitting up. However, Star Magazine already says Justin has a new girlfriend. His new girlfriend is actually his ex-girlfriend before he was dating Cameron.
Britney Spears?
Her name is Veronica Finn. This is who he dated right after... I guess he dated her in the late 80s before he started dating Britney.
Oh, so, I see.
Anyway, old girlfriend. Can anyone in Hollywood not be involved with someone ever? Can they just take 5 minutes and say, I'm just going to be alone for a week?
Never seen it happen.
Seems like they go from one right to another.
Yeah.
They back to back.
You know, this does set up, though, and you had mentioned earlier in the year that Britney, when her marriage broke up, was interested in getting back together with Justin. Like, that's her all-time love. Her dream guy is Justin, and she wishes it could be that way again. I wonder if now that they're both single, if the possibility exists.
Are you kidding?
I bet it does. Wouldn't surprise me a bit.
They stayed friends, as far as we understand.
Don't you think that he kind of feels like he dodged the bullet with that one?
No, I don't think
so. Not really, huh?
No. I think that when they're in that world, they don't see things the way we do. Speaking of Britney... According to Britain's More magazine, she has commissioned a nude portrait of herself.
Yes. She's about 6 weeks late.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the pictures for New Year's Eve, but she's put all the weight back on.
Yes, she has.
Wow.
Whoever does the portrait better have a lot of paint. That's all I got to say. Better go to Sherwin-Williams or wherever that joint is and just get a few gallons of flesh.
Maybe the night she did Letterman, that would have been the night to get the painting.
She peaked, huh?
That was it.
She says she wants to have her figure immortalized because she loves the film Titanic, especially the scene where Kate Winslet's character poses for a nude drawing.
Oh, for God's sakes.
However, she says she wants it tastefully done. And if you know anything about Britney Spears, you know she's all about class.
Very tasteful.
So I'm guessing it's going to be very tasteful.
She used to just take a still photo from one of her videos when she looked good and say, draw that.
Hey, paint this, won't you? Here's someone who's given Britney Spears some competition for Mother of the Year. Mira Sorvino.
Ooh.
Couldn't find a babysitter for New Year's Eve.
Right.
So the New York Post reports she took her two kids to a nightclub and partied the night away with her two-year-old daughter and six-month-old son in tow.
They let him in nightclubs?
Well, apparently, if you're Mira Sorvino, you can show up with two and under two kids at this nightclub.
Huh? That doesn't seem good.
No.
Apparently, the little girl was throwing tantrums all night long, and Mira just sort of ignored her.
Wow.
It's New Year's Eve. Everybody's cranky. Especially when you're 2 years old at 1:30 in the morning.
A two-year-old and a six-month-old to a nightclub where everybody else is trying to enjoy themselves?
Gets worse. Tori Spelling is concerned that the baby boy she and her husband Dean McDermott are expecting will make her dog jealous. So she has taken her dog Mimi to see a dog psychiatrist in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
In Touch magazine's reporting that Lisa May gave her the name of a doggy psychiatrist to go see.
He's very good.
Don't a lot of couples, they'll have a trainer or something come over to show you how to let the dog interact with the child and keep everybody safe, right? But I don't understand the doggy psychiatrist part of
you
it.
You go, shh, shh. Jeff Doney said it. Yep.
I saw that on South Park.
You're lucky I give you the baby. Martha Stewart's backing Rosie O'Donnell in her feud with Donald Trump. There's somebody you don't want on your side.
Really?
Excellent, though. Now we have three people we hate fighting.
Apparently, Martha knows firsthand what it's like to be on Donald's bad side. Remember when he came after her her version of The Apprentice failed?
Yep.
He had some not-so-nice things to say about her. So In Touch magazine reports that Martha sent Rosie a bunch of roses with thorns, and a note said, "Be careful of pricks."
Boom.
See what she did there?
Boom.
She totally stomped the yard right there. I don't know what that means, but I'm going to say it forever. And former L.A. anchorman and former husband of Flipper, Jim Lampley, was arrested yesterday for domestic abuse at his girlfriend's house in Encinitas outside San Diego. He's out on bail. He'll be charged with one felony count of domestic abuse, with two misdemeanor counts of violating a restraining order and preventing a witness from testifying. This is all honked up.
What's going on?
They found him at his girlfriend's house, and apparently there was some violence involved in that relationship. And
she had a restraining order against him?
That's what it says here.
Wow.
And El Kikui killed some dude. You hear that?
El Kikui killed someone.
Yeah.
I heard he threatened someone, but did he actually hurt him?
I don't know. I just heard bits and pieces of the story.
Well, it's criminal threats.
It's mostly in Spanish.
I thought I'd make it interesting. Yeah, they were talking. I think he killed a dude. My Spanish isn't too rusty. Maybe it's rustier than I thought.
Yeah.
Ralph, speaking of our radio colleagues, how about a hallelujah for the whore is dead? How about that?
Yeah. That wide mouth bass is out of a job. That's sweet. At least the fat and obnoxious guys she was with are gone, too.
That's good, too.
Stars. Just playing, John Mayer over and over again. All morning, that's what they're doing. Back-to-back John Mayer.
Who's that?
Check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt Frewer. Remember Max Headroom?
Yeah.
A national phenomenon, that Max Headroom was.
For 5 minutes.
It was hotter than hot.
Yep.
Now, Matt Frewer, who played Max Headroom, is sitting at home. Well, he's not sitting at home. He's laying in an alley somewhere. But still, it's a home to him.
Is his head still in the TV?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sure. But now he's using it as a pillow. He's more resting on an old TV in the alley.
He was on that, I shouldn't bring this up because I can't remember the name of the series.
No, this
series
always works well.
Yeah, the kids like it. The series that was just on this past year, Lisa, I think you watched it too, is about that crazy town where all the geniuses live.
I love that show.
What was that called? Matt
Crazy
was one
town.
Of the regular characters on that show that just was on this season.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Eureka. Thank you, Eureka. Dave. Eureka. DNN had that one.
Yeah. There you go.
And he was very good on the show. And
he's a very good actor, actually.
Still acting, yeah.
I wished him more success than he had post-Max Headroom.
It's probably Max Headroom that killed him, right? Probably killed his career for a lot of people he's Max Headroom.
He was stereotyped, I guess. But then he had a lot of makeup and stuff on anyway, so you think it wouldn't affect him so much. Because you don't look at that guy immediately and go, oh, that's Max Headroom.
True.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, Max is, not Max. Matt is 48 years old today. Michael Stipe from REM is 46 years old today. Our pal Dave Foley from News Radio, also from New Kids on the Block. No, that wouldn't be wrong.
New Kids on the Block.
Kids in the Hall, I guess, would be what I was looking for. He's 44 years old today.
Awesome.
And Julia Ormond. Remember Julia Ormond was white hot for a little while there? She was Sabrina. She was in Legends of the Fall. A beautiful, beautiful British actress who I just thought was going to explode. And she was really high profile for a while and then just sort of disappeared.
You were going to explode.
I'd like to see more of her.
Yeah.
She's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
One of the things we are most excited about every January, every year about this time, is that we hear from crazy man Pat Robertson. Now, Pat is a guy who's got to be pushing 80 now. He's been very, very popular. He founded the Christian Coalition a number of years ago. He hosts the very successful 700 Club television show over there on TBN. And he talks to God. He's one of those guys who's fortunate enough to have the pipeline to heaven. He actually hears from God himself.
Do you remember when he was leg pressing 2,000 pounds?
Well, how could I forget it?
Mike, how much can you leg press? What's your top?
Like 1,100.
1,100. Okay. So Pat Robertson is, he says he can leg press whatever he wants to leg press.
And this was only a couple of years ago, so he was probably in his late 70s.
And you can tell he's in great shape. So here's a, here's a little bit of audio of him leg pressing. And then in the background, you can hear his handlers or the woman who's interviewing him or somebody just trying to talk him out of it because it's too dangerous.
All right, guys, if you could put two more on either side, we'll take it up to 700.
That's too much.
Four, five, six.
Even the camera guys are late.
Nine, ten. Now, get some more weights.
No, no.
Should we go to 1,000?
No. There's no more room.
No more room. This will be 1,000 pounds. I just do a few of these, okay? Eight, nine, ten.
That's it.
That's outstanding.
My favorite. Wow. My favorite thing about that is that he goes, Eight, nine, ten.
You know he didn't do ten. He did like three.
That's some good counting.
Well, besides his superhuman strength, he talks to God, and he has new predictions for 2007. We'd like to welcome Pat Robertson back to the Kevin Abeen Show on the World Famous K-Rock. Good morning, Reverend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin Abeen. How are you?
We're very good. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that.
Happy New Year to you. I'm happy to say that your prediction last year of a tsunami in the Pacific Northwest did not come true. I was glad about that.
Or did it?
Well, no, it didn't. You predicted a tsunami, and it did not.
But it rained in New England a lot.
Right, but rain in New England is not a tsunami in Oregon. You understand that, right?
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
Well, I guess he does. Pat, how does it work with you, if you don't mind me asking? I don't think I've ever heard anyone ask you to describe it, but these conversations that you have with God, can you just dial him up? Does he just come to you and you have no control over? Do you hear a voice? Do you see a face? What happens?
I go deep into prayer.
Uh-huh.
And God comes to me in that prayer.
Right.
And he enters my mind and he tells me what will happen in the world.
Mm-hmm. You know, for those of us that don't have that direct a connection, we're very leery of people that say they talk to God because there are a lot of them out there, and they seem to all be crackpots.
That's why you're going to hell. Oh. Because you don't believe in the truth, and God speaks the truth through me. And sure, some people who say they talk to God are clinically insane.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But I've got a TV show.
Yeah.
So how can I be crazy?
Well, that's a good point. You must know what you're doing, or they wouldn't be able to give you a TV show. It'd be illegal, right?
Exactly.
All right, now, the thing that caught our attention is this year, for 2007, you say that God has given you a special message.
Yes.
And the prediction for 2007 that God told you is that there's going to be a terrorist attack on the United States that would result in, quote, mass killing late in 2007.
That's right. Mass killing in 2007.
Then you went on to say it might not be nuclear.
I'm not saying it's nuclear. Lord Jesus, God did not say to me it's going to be nuclear.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be nuclear.
But you think it's going to be nuclear.
Either that or a lot of people will eat granola bars and die of thirst.
That happens, by the way. That can easily happen.
They're very dry. But, Pat, a lot of people say that we're always at risk since 9/11. Of course, every year there's a threat of some sort of an attack. In fact, the government has worked very hard to stave off some of those attacks. They've actually uncovered plots that could have blown up buildings and killed a lot of people. What's different about your prediction versus anyone who's just saying, hey, be vigilant?
God told me.
Did God tell you about the tsunami last year?
Yeah.
Did you go back to him and say, hey, how come no tsunami?
Mystery of faith.
Mystery of faith.
Right there.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I believe that the attack will come from someone in the security line at an airport who is told they need to throw away their very expensive toothpaste because it's over the 3-ounce limit.
Yeah.
That person will snap and start mass killing.
Wow.
Well, there are a lot of people who get very upset in those security lines. You're right about that, Pat.
Did God tell you that part?
No, I'm just making that up. I just flew in, and I'm very upset about losing my toothpaste.
Okay.
I see. Is there any good news on the horizon in 2007? Do you have other predictions maybe that will offset the potential terrorist attack?
God did tell me a lot of things recently that I think are pretty interesting. The Raiders will win the Super Bowl.
What?
This year?
Yes.
But then you're not talking about the season that begins.
So rejoice, Raider Nation. Rejoice. Lord you're talking Jesus about, has anointed your team to win the Super Bowl.
You're talking about a month from now, not at the beginning of the
year,
fall.
This year, 2007, wow. January 2007.
Is that even possible?
Well, first of all, it's in February, but but wow, that's not even possible.
They're not in the playoffs, Pat. They've already been eliminated. They won two games this year. They can't advance any further.
As
it's
Lazarus,
over for them.
They will rise from the dead.
They're not allowed to play in the playoffs next year because of their record. Okay, so.
All right, you hate God. Fair enough.
All right, so Raiders, Super Bowl.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? Omarion will have the hottest CD in the country at number one.
Well, really? That's already happened. It's number one.
Praise Jesus. His word is true.
But you knew that that's
true.
But the CD was already number one when you made the prediction.
It's true. See, he's right. God is right.
Well, because you made the prediction after it already happened.
Donald Trump and Rosie O'Donnell will have a baby.
What?
What are you talking about?
They will join together.
They hate each other.
In coital union.
Oh,
They're fighting like children.
She's a lesbian.
And create a little baby.
She's a lesbian.
And a baby shall lead us.
She's ugly and fat.
Out of the desert. Into the desert.
Are you getting confused?
I did a lot of leg lifts today.
Yeah, okay.
Bad news for you fellas.
What?
God has told me that Jamie, Jack, and Stench will be the number one rated morning show in Los Angeles.
Well,
fired. They don't even have a show, Pat.
Yeah.
Gerald Ford will run for president in 2008.
There's a funeral that's been going on for 6 or 7 days now.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's
Nick Clark will become Secretary of State.
Okay, that's not going to happen. Pat, none of these things are going to happen.
You're Megan Mullally.
You have faulty information.
I'm crazy.
Yes, you are. Bean, the guy who never leaves his house. I talked him into jumping a fence and shearing a sheep that doesn't belong to us.
That's crazy.
When we were in Scotland. He did that.
That was so clearly before I had my own sheep because now I know what it would be like to have somebody hop a fence and chase your sheep around.
It was midnight. We were chasing a sheep around forever. what the hell's going on?
They're tough to catch,
that's
too.
That's back when Bean used to actually do stuff.
Yeah.
Got some email for you here. This one is directed straight at me. Kevin, I'm not some English whiz, but I hate it when people correct others on their use of incorrect words. But every time you say Saddam was hung, it makes me laugh out loud.
Because we're not talking about his junk?
My high school English teacher elaborated for me one day after I had incorrectly used the word hung. People are hanged. Pictures and things are hung. Porn stars are also hung.
Okay.
Not Saddam, Anthony.
Do we know for sure?
Yeah, see, maybe that's what I was talking about.
Yeah, maybe so.
Oh, yeah. Does the emailer laugh because you were an English major? Is that why he laughs?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
This one, the conversation title is Freaking Psycho Mike. I can't believe Psycho Mike has a MySpace for his damn dog. Are you kidding me?
Lola has a MySpace page?
Yes. Lola has her own page.
Lola has her own MySpace page.
Very extensive network of friends.
He's such a worse pet parent
than
Lisa.
Who's her friend? I know.
Who's
Lola's friend? Who's on her page?
David King of Mexico. George
Light. Oh my God. No. Anytime you start with David King of Mexico, who, by the way, is a friend of everyone on MySpace.
That's true.
Here's Jury Duty. Hello, Kevin and Bean. I was recently thinking about how unnecessarily cruel everyone is to Bean. After all, I'm a 28-year-old. I've been living in Los Angeles County my whole life and also have never been summoned to jury duty. I mean, it's not that uncommon. However, to my surprise, when sifting through piles of junk mail and bills, I came across the most lovely letter from the Superior Court of Los Angeles requesting my service as a trial juror.
Damn you!
That's right, Bean. Now you are the only one who has not received a summons and are therefore officially gay. Your future juror, CJ.
King of Mexico had jury duty over the Christmas holiday, by the way. He texted me from there going, yeah, I'm at jury duty right now. And then yesterday in the mail, I got his copy of his jury summons to further rub it in so that I could actually see what it looks like to have your presence requested. What a bird. I've got one. Dear Kevin and Bean, word on the street is that some blonde named Tammy has put out an open contract on Bean's life. You know, $300K is a big number, Bean. What the hell did you do to her? If I was you, I'd make peace with her or make your peace with God, one or the other. But if someone completes the contract and it becomes just the Kevin show, does that mean the show will start at a different time every day? Word. Huggy Bear.
By the way, the answer to that is yes. I got a couple. Bean, we put up a picture on the website of Bean's car, which has been split in half
awesome.
By a tree. And I got a couple email about that. One is from Andrew. He says, hey, Bean, nice car, first of all. No, seriously, you drive a bug? That's gay. Anyway, God hates me too, just not as bad as you. And he sent a picture of a tree on top of his truck.
Oh, no kidding.
Apparently that happens to everybody. Bean's unfortunate miracle is the next email. God loves the Jews. VW is a Nazi car. Plus, it's a bug. It's pretty clear to me that Bean is a Nazi and God was getting some revenge.
Well, that makes sense.
So that does make perfect sense. And my final one, and then we'll have our assistant producer, Alex, read one. Subject, Pam Anderson and the Weasel.
Oh, right. They were making out on New Year's Eve, right?
We talked to a girl yesterday who said she saw Pam Anderson making out with the Weasel.
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve this year in Las Vegas. Pauly Shore is locking lips with her.
Ew, that's gross.
I don't believe it, by the way.
I don't either.
I've seen pictures from that event, and you see them hugging and whatnot. But if there were pictures of them kissing at that event, they'd be everywhere. You'd see them all over the internet.
And Greg wants to make sure that that happens. Greg says, yesterday you had a woman on who said she had pictures of Pam Anderson macking with Pauly Shore. What happened to the pictures?
Yeah, where are those?
I thought you were going to bring this up with Harvey Levin, Greg. Well, we were because she was going to send the pictures, but she didn't. But if you're out there and you really do still have those pictures, I think she said she had them on her cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Give us, send them over to us, Kevin at KRock.com or Bean at KRock.com.
And we'll women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah.
Now, assistant producer Alex, yesterday we were talking about, she went on a website that was, I want women to have their way with me for money.
SugarDaddyForMe.com.
SugarDaddyForMe.com, right. And we talked about the loser that you went out on a date with.
Correct.
Okay. And you got an email?
I got my last greatest email ever from Oh Daddy Do It.
From Oh Daddy Do It.
Yeah, that's his screen name. A 70-year-old sugar daddy.
Yes.
Subject, play with daddy in his paradise. And this is the best email ever. Hello, my little darling. I am seeking a pretty young girl to play with me. Enjoy life, soak in the sun, eat great food, do water sports, and most of all, play with daddy. Be his trophy, be his arm candy, but most of all, be his little girl. Daddy's little girl. We always have a great group most time during the year at my little paradise, pepeshideaway.com in tropical Mexico. This former European fashion personality is seeking someone fun. A high sexual libido is essential. Experience isn't necessary, but openness and a willing to experiment is.
You're so in.
XOXO Daddy, P.S., and this is all in caps. I am living with a beautiful young black girl right now, and she needs someone to play with. This daddy tried black and never went back.
That's what I'm talking about. You need to be the third.
I need to be in the Oreo? Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, you are so going to Mexico this weekend. Come on.
Me and Pepe, man.
You are so in.
Well, Kevin, Los Angeles Kings, Detroit Red Wings playing Saturday night. You're going to be there, right? Because I know you love that, especially that rivalry when they come to town. This is one of your favorite matchups of the year, right?
Yeah. It's a great rivalry. I'm a big Kings fan.
Yeah.
And they're playing Saturday night.
Oh, it's going to be awesome.
Plus, I'm going to be in a suit in Phoenix at someone's wedding.
It's not bad enough you're going to miss the game. Right. You're going to be in a suit at someone's wedding.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, fortunately, the K-Rock listeners aren't you because they get the chance to join us. We're talking about a big K-Rock party at the Los Angeles Kings versus the Red Wings Staples Center Saturday night. Passes to the Kings tailgate party with our own Striker are included. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to debut a new game that we like to call Know Your Kings.
Know Your Kings. Know Your Kings. Know Your Kings. Know Your Kings. Know Your Kings.
There you go. How's that for 2007? Let's say good morning to Mr. Announcer Man. Hi there, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
That was not your handiwork, was it, Mr. Announcer Man?
No, sir.
All right. How were your holidays? What did you and Mrs. Announcer Man do for the time off?
We celebrated.
Wow.
Yeah?
How about that?
Ancient Druid rituals.
Okay, fantastic.
Stonehenge.
Well, congratulations on that. Mr. Announcer Man, I don't know if you're a sports fan or not, but this is a very hot ticket, Kings versus Red Wings. Why don't you explain to the callers on hold how the game is played?
We will be giving you clues to famous Kings. All you need to do is answer correctly, and you'll be entered into the drawing for that dreaded rivalry between the Kings and the Woodwings.
The good news is I think we were managing yesterday to get enough tickets, Mr. Announcer Man, that we don't have to do a drawing today. I think actually you get it right. You get the tickets, I think, is what we're doing.
Fine, have it your way.
Now, do you guys think we could squeeze in the best King question ever when we were at USC and UCLA? You remember this?
Please, I want to hear that.
Because every answer that we're asking for today has King in it.
Right.
So that's what we're looking for. This is when I was at UCLA and Bean was at USC.
Andrew, what name was shared by four consecutive Kings of England? Four in a row.
Grange?
Grange.
Sure. What did he say?
Legendary old King Grange.
Why would he say Grange? Andrew, what are you thinking? What is Grange?
Did he say Grange?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we feel your score and we accept it.
Sense. I guess someone was trying to mouth to him George from across the room, and Grange was the best he could come up with.
So that was pretty spectacular. Now, these are not all necessarily Kings, but it has King in the answer in some way.
Okay.
Mr. Announcer Man, who are we starting with?
Let's start with Bernard from Diamond Bar.
All right, Bernard, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Very good.
All right, Bernard, listen up. King is in the answer. Know Your Kings is the game. Here's question number one. This inexplicably popular 9 years-running CBS sitcom features the unlikely marriage of a schlubby UPS driver and his way-too-hot younger wife. Know Your King.
Go, King of Queen.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Very good.
Nicely done. You get a pair of tickets. Congratulations.
Yep.
All right.
Mr. Next up, let's talk to Chris from Santa Clarita.
All right, Chris, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Hello, Chris.
This is a police officer. Chris. He's pulled over right now, and he's not on duty.
Sure.
So if they call him, he's going to win tickets for the Kings instead.
All right, listen up. Here's your question. Know Your Kings. In March of 1991, how appropriate that you'd be getting this question, Chris. This king held a one-night job helping the LAPD test out how many baton beatings could be successfully administered to one motorist lying on the ground.
Yeah, that's very appropriate. How about Rodney King?
How about Rodney King? Should have thought about that before you beat the hell out of him, huh, Chris?
Wasn't Chris, for God's sake. Was it you, Chris?
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't Chris. Okay.
All right.
Can't we all just get along?
Exactly.
I'm the good department, the sheriff's department.
Okay.
And you're the one that's going to be at the Kings game Saturday night. Congratulations.
You're damn right I am. We're going to beat those freaking Red Wings.
That's what I'm talking
about. With batons.
Hold on.
Let's talk to Jacob from Monroe. Peruvia.
Jacob, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. I hate those Red Wings myself.
All right.
Wascally Red Wings.
They gotta go. All right, listen up. Know Your Kings. This lovable mop top's birth name is actually Dave, but he's been known by this nickname since he was hired to answer phones on the Kevin and Bean Show way back in 1982.
That'd be the King of Mexico.
Yes, it would
be. No, you're right.
Yes, it would be. There
Excellent.
You go.
AKA Lazy Bum.
That could be one of his. Sure, yeah, absolutely. All right, we have 5 pair of tickets. We've already given away 3.
Wow, are good.
Our questions may be too easy.
Yeah.
But let's move on. Who do we have, Mr. Announce Man?
Richard and Glendora.
Richard, good morning.
Morning. Morning, Lisa May.
Hey, Richard.
All right, Richard, listen up. James Earl Jones, the voice of Darth Vader, also did the voice for the title character of this movie, one of the biggest animated motion pictures of all time. Know Your Kings.
The Lion King.
Nicely done.
Excellent.
Nicely done. Congratulations. You got tickets.
Thanks a lot.
All right. Hold on.
Next up is Terry from Rosemead.
All right, Terry. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Morning. What's up?
Hey, Terry.
Yo.
Terry, are you a hockey fan?
I am.
Terry has a very generic what she does for a living title. It says, works for airport. In some way. Don't know what.
Can't tell us anymore.
Are you a Kings fan, I hope?
Yeah, I am.
All right.
Okay.
Time to know your Kings.
Here we go. The artifacts of this Egyptian pharaoh are among the most traveled museum pieces in history. His nearly intact mummy is actually named Tutankhamun, but he is better known as this.
King Tut.
Look at that.
Yeah.
All right, this was too easy.
This is a first game, right?
That yes.
We had everybody without even having a loser. That's not right.
No, but good job, Terry.
All right, well, thank you for playing Know Your King. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Some people call him Tutankhamun or Tutankhamun.
Exactly.
Know Your King.
Hey, Ralph, real quick before you get into the showbiz beat, because you're the movie guy, I want to go see this this Good Shepherd, this Robert De Niro, this Matt Damon, this Angelina Jolie movie. Have you seen it yet?
I have not, no.
2 hours and 40 minutes long.
Who wants to watch that long about a shepherd, for God's sake?
Yeah, oh, Gilligan.
Good reviews and bad reviews.
I'm wondering if what I'm getting myself into, if it's 2 hours and 40 minutes long, listen, it better be great. Listen, that's all I'm saying.
Listen, The Holiday's over 2 hours. If you can sit through The Holiday for over 2 hours, you certainly can get through a Robert De Niro-directed film.
Yeah.
Trust
okay.
me.
Okay. All right. I hope so. I hope you're right. It's 6:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Sounds like you got some late-breaking stuff for us.
Got drugged to the freaking Holiday over the weekend.
You did?
Holiday.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
Wow. How bad was it?
It wasn't that bad, actually.
Really?
It's kind of standard romantic comedy, but still.
Certainly not the kind of thing you would have picked.
Kate Winslet made it much more palatable. Oh,
sure.
It's funny how she just blows Cameron Diaz right off the screen.
Yeah.
It's like the whole movie's out of whack because she's so good, even in sort of fluffy, sort
good
of
or hot.
Basic fare.
Everything.
Both, okay.
And Cameron Diaz is just not a good actress.
Yeah.
So the whole movie's about these two girls and their experiences back to back. And you're like, we could save an hour on this film. We just cut out all the Cameron Diaz stuff. Just show me Kate Winslet for the next hour and a half, won't you, please? Well, it's starting to happen already. TV shows falling by the wayside. Uh-oh. The low-rated Megan Mullally talk show has been axed. Hard to believe.
Say it's not so. I've never heard of it.
It's the first syndicated show of the 2006-2007 season to get the axe. This was the show that took over the slot, basically, that was left open when Rosie O'Donnell
kind
of left the air. They tried it with that Carolyn Rea. She went in there for a while.
Yeah,
the chick who hosts the Fattest Loser, whatever that thing is.
Right, Fattest right. Loser.
Biggest Loser. Yeah. And so they gave Megan Mullally, who was a very popular star of Will and Grace, her own talk show, and nobody watched. So it's gone. We'll all miss her. But I heard she's in the running for Secretary of State. So.
That's what I heard too.
I heard that too, yeah.
It comes odd.
And this is sad news for OC fans. Fox has pulled the plug on the OC.
Oh, is Dave okay? Does Dave know?
He's weeping quietly in a corner, just sort of sobbing to himself.
That was his life.
Ratings collapsed during this past season, so the season finale and series finale will be February 22nd, which will be the last of all the new episodes over there on Fox. So.
Do you think maybe putting it on Thursday nights at 9 against CSI and Grey's Anatomy may have contributed to its demise?
No. Misha Barton right now is going,
ha ha!
Yeah, exactly.
Can't do it without me. Busta Rhymes, arrested in New York.
No way.
Busta.
What was Busta doing?
Busted.
Busted. Guilty, 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 guilty!
Busted.
Busta was busted?
Busta, busted. That'd be my headline.
I don't see
if I was writing a headline, it'd be Busta, busted. Probably Busta, question mark, busted, exclamation point. That's what I'm guessing.
I don't understand.
He was arrested after a man complained that he had beaten him up over a dispute over some money.
Read. Drugs. Oh, money.
Man told the police that Busta had punched him and kicked him numerous times in a confrontation outside a Lower Manhattan building on December 26th. And apparently it was over some cash that was owed someone. Mm-hmm. Give me my money, bitch!
It's pretty vague.
Of all the rappers to be beat up by, Busta Rhymes. I don't know if I'd even report that.
Yeah.
Yeah. MC Hammer kicked my ass.
Yeah, I'm keeping that to myself.
I got to read you something. Yesterday we talked to Harvey Levin.
Yep.
About this Oprah Winfrey deal. You know, she opened this school over in South Africa. $40 million she spent, and it was in all the news, and there was a lot of footage, a lot of coverage. And Harvey Levin, who of course works for TMZ.com, our entertainment news website of record. It's a great site if you want to check it out. He said he was upset because Oprah was asked about the percentage of girls in the school that she was starting, how many were black and how many were white, and she said that she doesn't have to appease white people.
And then she laughed.
And Harvey said, that's sort of a racist statement for her just to arbitrarily say she doesn't have to worry about white people. And it turns out that the clip that Harvey had seen that caused him to come to this conclusion was taken out of context. And Harvey's just sick about this. He called me at home yesterday.
Really?
He said, I'm so sorry for what I said yesterday on your show, and I apologize so much, but I was misled by the footage that I had seen, and the people had cut it together in a way that made it appear as if she was just being out of the blue, just had this opinion.
Right.
And he was really concerned about it, so I read his email yesterday, but I want to read it again in case you did hear him on the show yesterday, and know that Harvey has changed his opinion. Let me read you the email real quick. Ralph, I was unfair to Oprah. On the two shows I saw the other night, the reporter said Oprah was asked why most of the girls in the school were black. Then they played the soundbite in which Oprah said, I don't think I have to appease white people. I just got a hold of the raw tape of the news conference. The actual question that was asked was, most of the girls in the school are black. What are you saying to appease the white people of South Africa? Oprah's answer was that she didn't feel she had to appease the white people.
So in other words, if the white people get angry about this, she doesn't have to answer
to
them.
The reporter phrased it that way. What are you doing to appease the white people? And she simply responded, I don't think I need to appease the white people.
Which is not what it looked like originally
not
at all.
At all. Yeah. They had postured it in a very different way. I think I was rash in judging her and wrong to boot. I don't think her comment was racist when you look at it in the context, Harvey Levin. So I just wanted to give you Harvey a chance to respond, because he was really upset about how he might be perceived and that the fact that he was wrong yesterday.
I got to tell you, TMZ.com is our website of record for entertainment for a lot of reasons. We like Harvey, but also because it's almost never wrong. You don't see them ever coming out with something that doesn't come true. And when he feels like he's wrong, like this particular case, he'll stand up and say, I was wrong.
Gets very upset about it, too, which I thought was cool. So
that's why we like him.
Harvey.
My mom says there's a lot of black people in Africa.
Well, that much is true. Kevin went there to find out for himself.
I did.
He had to leave. He couldn't take anymore.
Oh, stop it. I wanted to stay.
Lindsay Lohan's got a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
Rumors been flying about Lindsay's dating life for some time now. Everyone from Jared Leto to Wilder. Really? That's the best you got?
Yeah, that's he's
Wilmer Valderrama, who of course played the popular candy dispenser Pez on that 70s show. But apparently the New York Post is saying they know who the real deal is. Lindsay Lohan is currently seeing Scott Storch.
Oh!
Scott Storch, as you may know, is a very popular record producer. He's made more than $70 million recently as a record producer.
Really?
That shocks me, by the way.
Yeah. Most recently.
Is he getting a percentage of some of these albums he's cutting or something?
Must.
He must be. Remember, he worked with Brandon Davis on that Firecrotch track.
On this
Firecrotch.
Oh, yeah.
I say it's disgusting.
Production values are great.
Go back to your cheap motel.
You can hear his production there. That's why he gets the big money.
You Firecrotch. A stinky beaver.
Scott Storch was smart enough to strip that song down to its basest elements. Scott Storch apparently has a total crush on Lindsay Lohan, according to the New York Post, and over the holiday gave her diamond jewels as a gift, totaling $1 million worth of diamonds.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a crush right there.
$1 million?
Big-ass crush.
Wait a minute, and that's before they got together as a couple, or
well,
are
they started
together?
Dating, and he gave her, over the holidays, $1 million worth of jewels.
You know why that's the smartest thing in the world? Because now when Christmas comes around, every woman in the world is going to be hitting on him.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
He's trained them to
know. He gave her $1 million in diamonds. Yeah. And lastly, Tori Spelling has sent her dog to a psychiatrist. In Touch magazine reports that Tori's worried that her dog, Mimi, won't accept the baby boy that she and husband Dean McDermott are expecting.
Right.
You know what happens if the dog doesn't accept your baby?
What?
You kick the dog in the ribs and you send it to puppy lake. That's what you do.
Well, I don't think that's the way.
Oh,
that's
it's your fault. You're not being the leader of the pack.
Cesar Milan, what would you say?
Right, Cesar?
Should happen.
You must be the alpha dog. Right. Ralph Garman is very right. If the dog act up, you take a driver from a golf club and you hit it right in the chest.
There you go.
I don't think
that's
Cesar,
what Cesar
and then
says.
And then you do,
after the golf club.
Yeah, you hit it with the golf club, you Tiger Wizard in the chest, and then you...
Tiger Woods right in the chest. You know, I had never seen that show, The Dog Whisperer.
Yes,
I've
tell
never,
me you
never
saw
seen
it
your show, but they had a Dog Whisperer marathon on over some point during the holidays.
They have for a year now. Yeah,
the Discovery Channel had some Saturday where they played like 8 episodes back to back to back, and my wife was like, "Are you going to sit on the couch all day long?"
Yeah.
I was like,
it's
"I
awesome,
can't
isn't it?
Stop watching this
it's
show.
Amazing, isn't
it's
it?
The same goddamn thing over and over again, and yet I cannot stop.
Am I
watching.
Wrong? He gives the exact same advice.
And it's the same problem. Everyone has the same problem, and the dogs. Just he does the same thing
and come to my place and walk. Don't look at them. Don't talk to the dogs. Just walk into the pen with the dogs. And he makes them walk, and it does the same thing over and over again, but you can't stop
him. Do you think all of the dog owners that watch it would get it the first time, and then he would be out of business? But no, they don't do anything that he wants them to do.
But one Roddy acted up. I'll tell you, Caesar just wrestled that dog right to the ground, just pinned his head right to the concrete. It was awesome.
Dad.
Just took him down.
Wow.
Looked like John Cena. It gave Caesar a belt after that. It was awesome.
It's so impressive, though, that someone will be coming to him with a problem that they've had for 10 years, and he solves it in about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because people are Lisa, you know?
People are Lisa.
I'm trying to be him. You're not.
You don't wait for the dog to go into calm, submissive state before you give it affection. I guarantee you.
Caesar, what's wrong with Lisa? What's she doing wrong?
She cannot be like me. She is not the trailblazer, the trendsetter, the prom queen. That is what you got to be. You have to be the alpha dog. You have to show who's boss. And mostly she's a dumb bitch.
See?
Wait, the dog or Lisa?
You choose. See, that dog jumps up on you, Lisa, when you get home. And goes, oh, Maggie's a good... I'm sure that's what happens when you come home.
I try not to.
You have to ignore the dog.
She's big eyes.
So she gets to
a
calm, submissive state. Only then do you give affection.
God. The dog is meant to feel lucky if you give her attention, Lisa.
I know.
That's how it's supposed to work.
What does she do when they take a walk?
You do not take a dog on a walk. You are going on a walk. The dog is lucky enough to come along.
Okay. Caesar Milan's turned into Scarface.
Yes. I was gonna say,
Caesar sounds like Ricardo Montalban doing Scarface.
Say hello to my little dog. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt Frewer, who played Max Headroom on the popular TV series many years ago, is 48 years old today. Michael Stipe, lead singer for REM, is 46. Dave Foley, our pal from News Radio and Kids in the Hall, turns 44. And Julia Ormond, beautiful British actress who I don't see nearly enough of anymore, except when I watch Legends of the Fall or Sabrina or one of the other films that she's done.
Anything else she's in?
She had a big career. She was starring in films, and then boom, nothing.
I wonder if she got married and had kids or something.
That's probably what happened.
She was deported or something. It's weird.
Deported?
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened. She's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Our favorite entertainment website, as you know, is TMZ.com because of Harvey Levin. We love Harvey Levin. But there are other websites that have different information. One of them is a website called The Smoking Gun, and it has all kinds of legal information. Like, they'll get the legal documents and put them up on the website.
Yeah, they have, like, writers for concerts that stars want.
Some of the stories are the most stupid people on the planet, and some are just spectacularly ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the best thing about that site, for my money, and it is thesmokinggun.com, not smoking gun, but thesmokinggun.com, and is the mugshots, the celebrity mugshots, is the finest collection of mugshots. I mean, you love the Nick Nolte, you love the Pee Wee Herman, you love the Rip Torn. They're all there, and they're all great. That's someplace you definitely ought to check out.
So it's time for our new feature, which is the best of the smoking gun. Daniel Strauss, he is a 19-year-old man from Pennsylvania. He's facing an attempted murder charge after allegedly shooting a friend who once gave him a wedgie.
Oh, you're kidding. Like, he went back to revenge it?
Shot him. Prosecutors say Strauss hit his buddy, Eric Cassaway, on June 12th after holding a grudge for months.
Oh, my God.
And what had happened was his friend snuck up on him during a concert and violently yanked on his underwear.
That's a shooting offense right there.
He held a grudge for months, ended up shooting the guy dead.
Killed him?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
How's that for good times right there?
Wow.
Bean, you're not going to like this story.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
At all. I mean, you're going to...
If this involves a guy and a horse, I'm checking out right now.
Okay, then don't worry. Meet Brian James Hathaway. He apparently was charged with having sex with a deer.
That, oh, my God.
Yeah.
No.
That was dead.
Oh,
Kevin. I'm sorry. I have a little scratch in my throat.
There are people having breakfast. I'm one of them, by the way. But there are people having breakfast right now. What are you doing?
He was driving down the road. He found a deer in the ditch.
Oh.
And it wasn't as alive as other deers. Let's just put it that way.
Jeez.
The details on the smoking gun say that his lawyer is arguing this because a dead animal is not an animal.
Who's the victim?
Right.
Right.
So he goes to Webster, and he says, Webster defines animal as any of the kingdom of living beings. So the lawyer is trying to get the charge thrown out because the animal wasn't alive.
I suppose he could. That's amazing.
The judge will rule soon.
Just a second.
Well, you couldn't charge someone for banging like a side of meat that they bought. You know, they'd just be a pervert.
Right.
But it is now illegal in California, for instance, to bang a corpse. I mean, they do make that distinction.
What?
Even though, yes.
What?
But I'm just saying, It seems like they could make a law that you couldn't have sex with a live or dead animal.
They could at least get him for lewd public conduct or something.
Maybe he wasn't doing it in public.
You think he took the deer home?
Yeah,
a little drag it into the garage.
Yeah, you know.
Unfortunately, Yachty. As ugly as that story is, the K-Rock microphones were there.
Yeah. That's hot.
Oh, no.
You take it.
Oh.
You take it now. Uh-huh. Yeah. You like that, don't you, bitch?
Oh, come on.
I'm a bad boy.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Take that.
I was wondering why we couldn't hear anybody on the other side.
Well, now you know.
That's why. And finally, Ralph Garman told us yesterday a great story about Mike Tyson getting pulled over with drugs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They have the police department report.
The arrest report?
On the smoking gun.
Okay.
And it's spectacular. They took him into a room to interview him. And they started interviewing him, and he was showing the peace sign with his right hand as the camera turned on. They turned on the camera to make sure that they get everything.
Right.
And he first stated that in Ireland, if you turn your hand the opposite way, it means F you. That's how he began the interview.
Okay.
Then this officer says, I asked Mike how much marijuana he had, and he replied, 2 joints earlier in the day. I asked Mike if he rolled his own joints. Mike Tyson replied, stating that he can't roll his own joints. So he has people roll them for him.
Okay.
His fingers are too meaty.
Mike then stated he last used cocaine yesterday. I asked Mike how often he uses cocaine. He replied, whenever I can get my hands on it.
Sure.
He's being questioned by the police.
He's certainly cooperative.
Most of us go the other way. You know, once a college sophomore forced on me,
didn't
had a roofie,
snore.
Didn't like it. Yeah. You know, he says he does it whenever he can get his hands on it.
In fact, do you have any on you? Because yeah. I'd like some now.
The police report goes on. I asked Mike if why he used both cocaine and marijuana together. And he replied, I'm an addict.
Yeah.
Mike said that using the drugs together made him feel, quote, good. He said that the cocaine and weed together made him feel good, and that's why he did it. No one's more honest that's ever been questioned.
Explanation.
I asked if he ever took more Zoloft, which is his antidepressant, I guess, or antipsychotic drug. If he ever took more than he was supposed to, he replied yes. Mike stated that without the Zoloft, it makes him a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people were thinking when he was in the ring and he bit
the ear.
Evander Holyfield? Yeah, that he was off his drugs. Mike then followed that up with the statement, I am effed up.
Wow.
The officer says in the report, I told Mike he did not appear to be messed up. Okay, now at that point, like, the officer's trying to give him the benefit of the doubt. You don't look messed up. And then Mike responded to that, I know, man, but I am. Mike then followed the statement by laughing loudly.
Well, Mike is actually going to prison this time. Mike has run out of choices. Yeah, he's actually going to jail.
I asked Mike what type of cigarettes he used. He replied Marlboros. Mike stated that he smokes the cocaine in his Marlboro cigarettes.
Oh, great.
I asked how he did that. Mike stated that he takes the cigarette, he rolls the cigarette between his fingers to get the tobacco out of the opened end of the cigarette. And then there's usually some tobacco left in the cigarette, and then he lays out his cocaine and scoops the cocaine into the end of the cigarette. So he's telling the cop exactly how he does it.
He should know smoking is bad for you at this point.
And finally, the last question. He's being questioned. This is Mike Tyson from The Smoking Gun. I asked Mike if he thought that Zoloft, marijuana, and cocaine all at the same time affected his driving at all. And Mike immediately stated, I can't drive.
What the hell?
Wasn't he driving when he was pulled over?
Yes.
Well, that's not a good answer.
He told the officer he can't drive. I love Mike Tyson. You think he's going to go to jail forever, huh?
No, I don't.
I mean, for a long time?
But he can't go to rehab?
Yeah, I think he's out. I think he was at the point in his legal battles where he had one more strike and that was it. He was going to do some serious time. So I don't know.
Because this, to me, sounds like he was bucking for rehab, you know? Like,
don't you give a brother a little help for honesty? I mean, don't you say, wow, no one's ever been this honest with us in the history of us doing questioning people.
No kidding.
No one's ever been this honest except for Mike Tyson. He's not the guy you want to point to and say, honest.
Nope.
That's the guy. And that's the smoking gun.
Oh my God, he beat him to the ground.
He deserved it. Look, every time we play Jared Leto's band, Mike, you don't have to audibly be excited. You just keep it to yourself.
I can't control it.
We're begging you to not audibly be excited.
7:25 on the Kevin and Bean Show Thursday morning. Blink 182 and Snow Patrol are coming up straight ahead. Who's seen the Rocky movie? I saw the Rocky movie over the holidays. Anyone else?
No, I
haven't. Didn't. I was out, and I didn't get a chance to see it, but I'm dying to because I love the whole series.
Yeah, yeah, it's not good. It's made $47 million already, which isn't a disaster. It certainly has made money, but they can't be happy with it. And the reviews have not been kind. And we thought, what's up with that? Let's talk to the man behind the Rocky legend. Let's talk to Sylvester Stallone himself. He's on the line here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Sly.
Yo, Kevin and Bean, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Well, we're fine. Right.
How do you feel about the box office success or not of Rocky Balboa?
Well, I wish it had done better.
Yeah. Right.
It would be better if it was a hit. Yeah. You know? The reason I did another Rocky movie is I was hoping it'd be a hit.
Right.
I was, you know, the first Rocky movie was incredibly popular.
Well, that was one of the best movies of all time.
It won an Oscar and everything.
Right.
Right. That was 30 years ago, but yeah.
This movie performed less than, you know, what I expected.
What did you expect?
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Well, Sly, in the interviews that I've seen you about Rocky, you know, everybody said, you know, you're 60 years old. Does it really make any sense for you to do a boxing movie? And you said it was because the Rocky V movie that you put out back in 1990 was so bad, you wanted to give the fans a proper send-off, something that they could be happy with the way the series should end.
Yeah, I thought Rocky's, you know, Balboa would be the final send-off for the character.
It's not going to be?
No, I'm not happy with the way it's ending again. I want to bring Rocky back.
Oh, no,
give
no.
Give another
chance
to do something!
No.
Because you're not a fighter, you're nothing!
Sylvester, listen, you're old.
I know. I think that may have been part of the problem with this film, is that people thought I was mentally irregular, thinking, you know, the Rocky Balboa could get back into the ring.
Right.
Well, yeah, it's absurd, and how can you complain about the way the script ended when you're the guy who wrote the script and starred in the movie? Shouldn't you have thought about that before you made Rocky Balboa?
What, you think I made a mistake? I don't know things?
No.
I know things!
No.
I know it didn't go well!
Right.
You're not a fighter, you're nothing! Fighters fight!
Right.
We saw that in the film. Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're the one who was responsible for how this movie came out. How can you now come out after the fact and say, well, I didn't think it was very good?
I was drinking very heavily when I wrote it.
Is that right?
So I'm coming out with Rocky VII now.
No.
I think this will be the true ending to the story of Rocky.
How can you have any other story to tell? If you don't mind my saying, all six were... Here's a guy who shouldn't win, but then almost does or does. That's
exactly.
The...
So now I'm going to take a different tack.
Okay, what's...
It'll be different, and then everyone will say, the Rocky's good. I like Rocky!
Okay, so what's seven going to be?
I start my own line of lean grilling machines.
like George Foreman?
Who?
George Foreman, the real fighter?
Oh, he's already done it?
Yes.
I can't believe this.
Yes, of course. He's very, very successful at
grill
it.
Grill is grill. That was going to be my tagline for
Yeah, you can't.
That's how I wanted my grills. Grill is grill.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
First, I tenderize the meat before I put it on the grill by punching it.
Oh, I see.
If that doesn't work, then maybe Rocky goes on to a new career as a promoter trainer, you know? Instead of being in the boxing ring, he helps other people box.
Could be like Don King.
Exactly.
Okay.
My first match, Rosie O'Donnell versus Donald Trump.
Oh, I like it.
Well, yes.
People would pay to see that.
Trump has to put on like 100 pounds, but I think it would be a good matchup. You know?
I think Trump would go down in the first ring.
Or maybe we see Rocky competing in other venues. Maybe he tries a new sport.
Instead of boxing?
Yeah, maybe he goes on Dancing with the Stars.
No.
It comes down to him and Stephen Hawking.
No.
Well, you think you're better than me? Are you in a chair? Get out of the chair! Dance is dance! Then you find out who you are. When you're not in a chair, then you know who you are. Or maybe I go on American Idol, you know, with Kevin Federline.
What?
That way I can win.
You mean well, just that, you that and him?
Maybe I become, like, you know, a dog whisperer.
Like Cesar Millan?
Yeah, what, you barking too much? I'll punch you in the face! I'd be like the dog puncher.
Yeah.
None of these really are flying. I think it may just be time to just concentrate on the new Rambo movie that you're supposed to be doing this
How
year.
How about Rocky versus Dick Clark in a counting contest?
Oh, I don't think that's... listen.
No, I could beat him.
No, I don't think you could. That's
no,
the
I
thing.
Could. 20, 19, 18. Look, I'm already better than him.
Yeah, well,
hang on a second. Let me see how Dick does.
Thank you, Ron. We're coming up on the new year in 30 seconds. The crowd is getting louder.
All right, get ready, Rocky.
A lot like Sylvester Stallone as you listen to him, doesn't he?
Old year in 20.
Here you go. Go, Sylvester,
19,
go.
18, 17,
16. 16. 15, 14, 15, 13, 12, 11, 10. Ah, eight, I win! 7, 6,
he did miss 10. You're right about that, Slide.
He skipped 10. You're right.
Count is count! You know, worst comes to worst, we got Rocky doing mornings at Star 98.7.
Oh, that's open, I hear.
That's what I heard.
That's a great idea. Ralph and I flew a bunch over the holidays, and we'd like to title this segment, Traveling Sucks and It's Your Fault.
Yep.
All right. I have two major complaints. One is the security checkpoints. It's always the same. You go, you got to take out all the metal, everything like that that might set it off.
What?
Right. Always the same.
No.
Let's say you don't travel a lot. Signs everywhere explain to you that that's the case. Not only that, mm-hmm. people shout to you, take out your computer, you need to take off your belt, that kind of stuff.
Take off your shoes.
Yes. I got behind a guy who had 5,000 pounds of metal on him. I mean, he had gigantic earrings, and the necklace was almost Mr. T-like.
Oh, geez.
And 8 or 9 rings, and the belt, and he didn't start doing any of it until he's tried to walk through the thing, and they said, no, sir, you have to take... And so then it took him like 5 minutes. So
pitiful, make me take my jewelry off.
Here's a tip. It's gonna be that way every time you go. Start a little earlier. You're an a-hole.
No, Kevin, no. You should take your laptop out of the laptop case when you get to the conveyor belt, apparently.
You are an a-hole.
Right then, before you walk through the metal detector, decide then to take your laptop out and have to find an empty freaking tray for it.
So then you do that, and you walk through with your cell phone in your pocket, and then the rest of the line wants to beat you to a bloody pulp because you've got to come back through and take it out and put it on.
People are too goddamn stupid to travel.
These are the same people, by the way, who are in front of you at the supermarket and wait until the bill is presented to them and then go, oh, I guess I have to pay for it, and then they pull out their wallet, and then they have to decide whether it's going to be check or whether it's going to be charged. Then they decide it's check, and then they got to find a pen, and then they got to start writing, and then they got to ask what
same people.
It just goes on and on and on and on and on. There's no kind of thinking ahead to, hey, maybe I'm in a line with people behind me. I ought to be a little more efficient.
And you know what? When you get out through the metal detector and you're scooping your stuff out of the bins that come out of the metal detector, get the hell out of the way.
Yeah,
grab your stuff and keep walking.
You can put on your shoes and your belt and stuff about 20 feet down on the left.
Anywhere.
Nobody is.
You can put them down. You can put that stuff on anywhere. Yeah. You can put your jacket on. Don't stand there on the other side of the metal detector making people back up while you put all your rings and jewelry back on.
Here's the thing that we shouldn't have to explain to people. You're not the only one traveling, you a-hole.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other people waiting for you. Okay, that's one, the security checkpoint. Nobody starts until they get up there. Two is the luggage retrieval. So you get off the plane, your luggage is at Carousel 4 or whatever. People run to Carousel 4 like it's a general admission concert, and the first people there get the front row. Yeah. Man, I mean, they sprint, and they circle that carousel, and they wait, and they elbow, and they squeeze in, and they get all their kids up there, too.
I know. What's a 5-year-old going
to
do?
And they have to bring their cart with them, and it's just a complete struggle. But here's my favorite thing, and it happened to me on this vacation. The luggage comes out of the little chute,
mm-hmm.
And the guy gets up there and kind of didn't get it in time. So now the luggage is kind of past him. It's over in front of me now.
Right.
He's still, with the desperation of somebody who their baby carriage is rolling toward a busy street. That's his desperation. He still has to reach over and grab that suitcase and hold on for dear life as it drags him around, knocking me to the ground, somebody else to the ground, somebody else to the ground. Here's a tip. It's an oval. It'll come back around.
Oh, my God.
It doesn't fall off on the other side into an abyss.
Nope. One time.
Goes never by once to be seen it. Again.
No, it goes right into an incinerator, Kevin.
What the hell is wrong with
the
people?
The conveyor belt leads to an incinerator on the
other
side.
Have you ever seen somebody grab a suitcase and then when they couldn't get it, let go?
No.
They never do. Yeah. They would rather just die trying to get it off.
It forces everyone around them to help. They reaches in and they grab the suitcase and push the guy away because they don't want to have to get knocked over by that same dude.
It's a circle. Well, this is something you should try. Look at it sometime before your luggage is coming out. You can walk around it. It's a complete circle, which means if you don't get it that first time, it'll come around again.
And you've just spent 6 hours getting from New York to Los Angeles. You can spend another 8 minutes at the carousel. It's okay.
Doesn't even have to be 8 minutes. By the way, the other thing you can do is just walk around the other side. Because there's
the tip.
There's usually no one there. Yeah. And you can just pull it off that way.
Well, I didn't have that convenience when I got back from Philadelphia this holiday because there were four different flights from four different cities all being dumped on the same carousel at LAX.
Excellent.
So there was about five deep at the carousel, completely around, not an inch of space anywhere to be seen. And everyone was going to be goddamned if anyone else got their luggage before they did.
Yeah.
They were throwing elbows like it was a mosh pit. I've never seen anything like it. I was going to deck a guy because he kept elbowing me, trying to get into the 1 inch of space that was there at the carousel.
Because if that suitcase goes by, it's gone. That's the desperation of that guy. And all five deep, I'm sure, were doing the exact same. That's mine. I got to get it right now.
I have a couple of questions I got to ask. One is, have you ever met anyone... Have you ever known anyone? Do you believe that anyone ever owns the first piece of luggage that comes off?
Because first of all, no.
You never see anyone take it,
that's true.
I certainly don't know anyone who's ever been first.
Now, those people aren't at the carousel. The first 500 pieces of luggage.
I think the first one is a dummy. I think they just send that one out just so people know the luggage is coming.
I think you're right.
Nobody ever gets it.
And the other thing, Lisa brought up an excellent point on this, too, is I understand that you're not allowed to wait for planes at the gate anymore. I understand for security reasons they're not letting non-passengers go through the metal detector and get to the gate anymore. So that a lot of times people are met at baggage claim. That's common now. But you don't, if you're meeting 14 people at baggage claim, you don't need to take them all up to where the luggage is.
Up to the front of the carousel.
No, apparently you do.
Yeah. You have to go as a family.
Stand there with you.
You don't have to all stand there. And the other thing I'm going to suggest, and I've thought this for years and years and years, and I want to run it by you guys and see if you think it would work or not. To me, it doesn't make sense that 100 people or more, 300 people in some cases, are all crammed up against the lip of the conveyor belt. It seems like it would make more sense for everybody to step back a few steps, and that way there'd be nothing but room. If you see a bag that looks like yours, you step forward and pick it up.
What a good idea.
No, people need to examine the luggage with a magnifying glass to make sure it's theirs.
Being, you're acting like people realize that there's anyone else in the world.
I was with the most obnoxious family in the world that was coming apparently from Aspen, and they had one of their teenage punk kids standing on top of a luggage cart doing recon about the baggage that was coming out of the chute onto the conveyor belt.
What was he saying?
He was like, all right, Dad, this is ours, this one's coming up now. All right, here it is. He was like, giving to the right, right, there. And then everyone would just charge in and grab this bag at once. He had binoculars and he was doing good target practice.
You guys are neglecting one of the other annoying people is everybody has the same kind of like basic black Samsonite carry-on bag or whatever.
Right.
So you grab it thinking it's yours. And the guy comes over and he's like, no, it's mine. And you're like, sorry, okay. I would have noticed that in a second and I would have put it back. Yeah.
Yeah. People lose their minds. It's like, you know how brides go crazy just before their wedding? People lose their minds at the luggage carousel. Yeah.
I don't understand the mob mentality that takes place when you're just retrieving your bag.
Nothing else matters. You could have kids. You could have a job. You could have a good situation. Everything else could be great. But if you don't get that luggage right that moment, nothing else matters. And I'm telling you, the next guy that grabs his suitcase and knocks like seven people out of the way, I'm going to kick you in the nuts. Because it's a circle.
That'll help situation.
It's a circle.
Kevin kicking people in the nuts.
It's an oval.
Kevin settles all problems with violence. You know that, Ralph.
I'm telling you, the guy was knocking literally three or four of us to the ground.
It's unbelievable.
Because he couldn't let go of that suitcase. It's like he's riding a bucking bronco or something. No way was that suitcase going
to
win.
But why is it so important for that guy to save the 30 seconds it takes to wait for the suitcase to go around when I said he just spent hours on a plane getting to that city?
I can't imagine.
What kind of race is he in? What is in that luggage? A heart? Is he transporting organs? Is someone waiting in a hospital that's going to die if he doesn't grab his bag immediately once he gets off his plane?
Maybe he's on The Amazing Race, Ralph. Maybe it literally is a matter of seconds to get to Egypt.
What if he was, and then he loses because you're mad at him?
That's exactly.
And I kick him in the nuts.
We got to reconsider our process.
Right. I think what we're saying in regards to going through the metal detector and in regards to picking up your luggage is don't do what you're doing, people, because
traveling sucks,
and it's your fault.
I'd like to ask you to stop flying completely.
Traveling sucks.
I want to be the only guy flying.
Okay. All right. I'm good with that. And our pal Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
Just released this morning the complete list of SAG nominees. SAG, for those of you who don't know, is the Screen Actors Guild. And each and every year they do their own award ceremony where they give out the awards to what they think are the best acting performances of the year. This is actors rewarding actors. Sunday, January 28th is going to be the award show. It will be aired on TBS and TNT. And these awards are usually pretty good indicators of the nominees you'll see both at the Emmys and the Oscars, at least in terms of the acting categories. So let's see who they nominated for Best Performances this year. Best Performance by a Male Actor in a Leading Role for a Theatrical Motion Picture. Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond. I thought he was pretty great in The Departed.
I think he's a great actor. Yeah, he was good in Departed. You're right.
Ryan Gosling, no surprise there for Half Nelson. He's almost guaranteed to show up come Oscar time. Peter O'Toole in Venus. Apparently, this is an amazing performance that the ancient British actor gives. Will Smith in The Pursuit of Happiness and Forrest Whitaker in The Last King of Scotland.
Oh, that was good.
Sounds like all deserving performances there. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role. Penelope Cruz in Vulva.
Vulva.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was hoping it was something else. Judi Dench for Notes on a Scandal. Helen Mirren for The Queen. Kate Winslet, Little Children. And Meryl Streep, The Devil Wears Prada. I think all...
Good list.
All qualify for possible Oscar contention
Great list. List of movies that I've not heard much of any of them.
The Queen is... huge success.
Yeah, I don't care.
You know, Ralph, you bring up a good point that this is a great Oscar bellwether because the majority of voters for the Academy Awards are actors.
Exactly.
That's the largest voting category. I'm very disappointed already as I hear this list, though. Not that they're all not great, but I really hope Sacha Baron Cohen gets some sort of recognition for the work he did in Borat.
Good luck.
I know it's unlikely because it's a comedy, but Jesus, is there another man on the planet who could have done that movie besides him?
I agree. It's a brilliant performance.
Do you think a woman should be educated?
Definitely.
But is it not a problem that a woman have a smaller brain than a man?
That is wrong.
Give me a smile, baby. Why angry face?
Well, what you're saying is very demeaning. Do you know the word demeaning?
No.
No. Outstanding performance by a male actor supporting role, Alan Arkin for Little Miss Sunshine. Boy, was he awesome in that.
Yeah.
Eddie Murphy for Dreamgirls. Dimon Hounsou for Blood Diamond. Jackie Earle Haley for Little Children. This Little Children with Kate Winslet supposedly is a brilliant film. Haven't had a chance to see it yet. And Leonardo DiCaprio for The Departed. They're counting it as a supporting role.
Really?
No kidding.
I guess, yeah, because there's a bunch of
It is sort of an
people.
Ensemble piece, yeah. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a supporting role. Adriana Barraza for Babel. Kate Blanchett for Notes on a Scandal. Abigail Breslin for Little Miss Sunshine. She's adorable in that. Jennifer Hudson, Dreamgirls. And Rinko Kikuchi for Babel, which I think they put in that lesson just for comic effect.
Rinko Kikuchi.
Rinko Kikuchi. Come on.
I believe she's my perfect woman, isn't she? Isn't she the naked Japanese deaf teenager? Yeah.
No one knows because her name's Rinko Kikuchi. It's just funny, that's all.
Everything I look for.
The great thing about the SAGs, too, is they give out cast awards, which I think is a great idea for actors. So they have best outstanding cast in a motion picture, for instance. The cast of Little Miss Sunshine, Dreamgirls, Babel, Bobby, and The Departed, all nominated.
Who's nominated for Best Kiss?
That's a different
thing. No, that's MTV.
I'm sorry.
Best actor in a drama TV series, James Gandolfini, a perennial favorite of the SAG Awards for his work on The Sopranos. Michael C. Hall for Dexter.
Yes.
Hugh Laurie for House. That's my pick. You know, I think he's the best goddamn actor on television. James Spader for Boston Legal and Kiefer Sutherland for 24.
Oh, that's a tough list.
You're not watching Dexter, people. You're missing out.
People. Outstanding performance by a female actor in a drama, Patricia Arquette for Medium.
Edie Falco for The Sopranos, Mariska Hargitay for Law and Order, Kira Sedgwick for The Closer, and Chandra Wilson for Grey's Anatomy. Hmm. Best comic performance in a series?
Borat.
Jeremy Piven for Entourage, Steve Carell for The Office, Alec Baldwin for 30 Rock, Jason Lee, My Name is Earl, and Tony Shalhoub, as always, for Monk.
For God's sakes, with The Monk.
And for outstanding performance by a female actor in a comedy series, Megan Mullally for Will and Grace. How can she still be getting nominations for a show that went off in the 80s?
Will and Grace?
Felicity Huffman, Desperate Housewives, America Ferrera for Ugly Betty, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, The New Adventures of Old Christine, Mary Louise Parker for Weeds, and Jamie Presley for My Name is Earl. So,
I got to say, that's a good list.
It is a good list.
Through and through.
Yes, I agree. Congratulations to Britney Spears. She has continued to make a complete joke of herself. She's just announced that she wants to get a nude portrait of herself commissioned. She wants someone to paint her nude.
At what point in her life does she want that? Not now?
Right now.
But I'm saying she could give him a picture, right?
Nope. She says...
Maybe Baby One More Time video,
something
like that?
She's so proud of her body, she wants it immortalized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It better be like a mural on a wall. You've seen her ass lately.
She's wearing the beer goggles. She's looking it down and thinking she looks great.
A friend says to Britain's More magazine that Britney loves Titanic, especially the scene where Kate Winslet's character is posing for a nude drawing.
I like that part, too, by the way.
So that's what she wants to do. However, she says she wants it tastefully done.
Oh, okay.
That means she'll have the cigarette and the 40, but she wants the bag of Cheetos out of the picture. She does not want that included. She wants to keep it classy.
She is. If you saw the pictures of her from New Year's Eve where she's packed on all the weight again, she's starting to look like the Titanic, come to think of it.
Hey, what the? Yeah. But you...
Whatever you got, I'll eat it, snort it, or ride it, baby.
Just give many of your videos and let them draw that.
Former L.A. anchorman Jim Lampley arrested yesterday for a domestic abuse case in his girlfriend's house in Encinitas, California. TMZ.com reports he's out on bail and will be charged with one felony count of domestic abuse and corporal injury, as well as two misdemeanor counts of violating a restraining order and preventing a witness from testifying.
What the
hell's going on?
It sounds like he threatened his girlfriend, who was involved in the case, not to press charges or something, sounds like to me. So that's bad news. I think covering all those boxing games has affected Jim.
Could have.
It's rubbed off.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of them.
Yes, he has.
He's in the Rocky Balboa, isn't he, Ralph?
I believe he
Lampley?
Is. Yeah. He showed that. I mean, in terms of recreating an actual boxing match, I think Rocky Balboa is the most realistic of all of them because they do a full-blown sort of HBO event, and they use the HBO camera angles, and use the announcers and everything. It's really quite impressive. And more legal trouble, Busta Rhymes was busted in New York City after a man complained that Busta had beaten him up over a dispute regarding some money. Apparently, Busta punched and kicked him numerous times, the guy says.
That's funny.
I wonder if he hit him with his hair. Do you still have the hair? Anybody know? Doesn't have the hair anymore?
I don't think he does. I don't think he has that crazy hair anymore.
I miss the hair.
I'm shocked to find a rapper somehow in trouble with the law. That just, you don't ever see that.
It is shocking. And Il Kikui, popular radio DJ here in Los Angeles, killed some dude, I think.
What?
Yeah.
I think he was just threatened somebody is all it was.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
My Spanish must be rusty. It's not what I thought I heard this morning.
Yeah, threatened and killed are very, very different.
I think he like stabbed his son or something.
What?
No, seriously.
What are you talking about?
I'm telling you, I heard the report in Spanish. It was very vague, but I'm pretty sure.
Do you know Spanish?
No.
Well,
but
then,
I know certain
but
words.
You heard muerto?
No, well, something.
Why don't you just say cut off his own head if you don't have any idea?
It was Fuego or Muerto or Fierro or something. I don't know. It was something along those lines.
What the hell?
He might have been driving a Pontiac.
Might have been.
El Cucuy, by the way, a very popular Spanish-speaking DJ. I think he's, isn't he number one? Is he the guy who's like most popular?
Oh, yeah. Kicks our
According
ass.
To TMZ, was booked Wednesday on suspicion of making criminal threats after he was involved in a confrontation with police on New Year's Day. Listen to this. Police were called to his Northridge, California home early Monday morning on a domestic violence call. When officers arrived, they found traces of blood in the house and on El Cucuy's wife.
See?
The wife was initially uncooperative and belligerent with officers, so she probably had it coming. It doesn't say that.
Teach
her a lesson.
El Cucuy is well known for his community activism and has spoken out in the past against domestic violence, except for him.
Right. And he stabbed his son.
He didn't stab
his
son.
I don't see that anywhere here, Ralph. I'm
Look
sorry.
Closer.
It's not in this report.
He didn't stab his son.
I don't see it.
I don't think anything you're saying is correct, Ralph.
Está del mijo.
Something like that. Something along those lines.
You need to brush up on your Spanish.
Well, they should do it more in English, well, whatever this report is.
Oh, you know what? It says here that he also killed President Ford. That's weird.
See, I knew there was some tie-in
someplace.
That didn't
happen either. For God's sake.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Michael Stipe is 46 years old today. Dave Foley from News Radio and Kids in the Hall is 44 years old today. And Julia Ormond, beautiful, talented British actress who was in Sabrina and Legends of the Fall and other movies that I can't think of right now. She's 42 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So if you haven't been to krock.com in 2007 and checked out the new pictures on the Kevin and Bean page, you really owe it to yourself, because I went to Africa over the holidays, and there's a monkey there with the bluest testicles you've ever seen in your life, and I had to bring back pictures.
That was me.
How about the giant elephant penis? Was that you took that picture too?
My photos as well, yeah. No, you stayed home, and God smote you.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what happened.
Okay, now I got it. So Kevin and his pictures from an actual Christmas vacation in Africa are up at krock.com in the Kevin and Bean section. And then pictures of the destruction at my house as God tried to kill me are also up at the website.
Now, holidays, we've said 100 different times, there's so much more pressure because you're doing so much more. You expect so much
more.
A lot of times it involves a lot of family that you don't spend that much time with. So we're going to take your phone calls as Bean describes to us why God hates him, of why God hated you over this past 2 weeks. If you have some good stories, some things that went terribly, terribly south, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. And like Bean said, you can go to the website, krock.com, and go to the Kevin and Bean sites section and see the tree that split Bean's car in half.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a storm. You've had some of these high winds in Southern California in recent days, but this was 90-mile-an-hour winds on the night of December 14th.
Wow!
And put the livestock in the barn and everything, and just crossed my fingers that no trees would fall on any of them. Unfortunately, they didn't. But a lot of trees were down all over the Seattle area, and 1.5 million people were without power for the first couple of days. I didn't have power for a week. Didn't have internet or phone for 9 days. Didn't have heat. Didn't have hot water. This is Christmas vacation, by the way. That's what's going on here.
By the way, heat, hot water means nothing to Bean. No internet?
He's going to die.
You might as well just kill him.
Yeah.
No internet and no television, by the way. How do you think that made me feel? But 80-foot hemlock tree came down, bounced off the roof, took off a big chunk of the roof, cracked all sorts of walls in the bathroom and the kitchen and stuff like that, and took off the gutters and the drains, and it's right down to the insulation. There's insulation from inside my roof hanging out right now.
Excellent.
And then the tree proceeded to fall right and just bisected my Volkswagen Beetle. But, usually you're bummed out, you lose a car. But it had 23,000 miles on it, so it was time to get rid of it anyway, right?
It was done.
It was used up with 23,000 and 40 miles on it.
You can't expect a car to go further than that.
It's one of those things where you try to second guess yourself about what should I have done differently. Now, if I was one of those organized people who could park in his garage, that might have helped. It might have been nice maybe
you
to have the car.
You have a garage?
I do have a garage, yes.
I assumed you didn't, because in that photo, there's like four cars all lined up outside.
Yeah, no room in the garage, so it was outside. But, if I had moved it, if I had known where the tree was going to fall, I could have parked it someplace else.
Oh, really? If you'd known where the tree was going
to
fall.
There's no way to tell where something like that's going to come on. You're just lucky that it doesn't come down and kill you while you sleep or something. But
see, my theory is God's trying to take Bean out, and he wasn't sure if he was in the house or the car, so he struck both with a tree.
Yeah, just in case.
It was a bad deal, I'll tell you. We're going to take your calls for bad holiday stories, and it doesn't have to be a natural disaster. It can be a relationship thing. It can be a family thing. It can be an arrest thing. There's any number of – I'll give you an example right here before we go to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. This is from a K-Rock listener who does not wish her name to be given, okay? Hello, Kevin and Bean. I just tried calling to tell my horrible Christmas tragedy. I couldn't get through, but here's what happened. I was at my husband's company Christmas party where he got really drunk and acted like a complete fool. Mm-hmm. So I left the party, and on the way home, I checked his cell phone, and he had a text from a coworker and one of our close friends that said, "I love you." Okay, then I found pictures of her in my house on his phone as well. Needless to say, I found out the night of the company Christmas party about the affair. It was the worst holiday season ever. Just wanted to share this with you both.
Oh, my God.
Now, that says Christmas to me. That's what I'm talking about.
She didn't jump to any conclusions, though, did she?
Just because of the phones of the woman in her home on his cell phone?
I'm just saying. I mean, you want to get the facts before you make up your mind, right?
I love you. That could come from anyone.
Sure.
Doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah. You know, Lightning says that to all of us all the time. Well,
now, I wasn't at Ralph's party, but I understand that there was a drunken coworker at Ralph's party that made quite an impact as well.
When Lightning drinks, it's ugly.
Yeah.
And he turns up the volume. That's exactly the opposite of what needs to happen in regular life, is he needs to turn down the volume. He turns it up. And he starts running around being crazy. So that can't possibly have gone well. Well, we're going to take your calls if anything bad happened during the holidays. I don't know why it cheers us up so much to hear your horror stories.
I guess because it didn't happen to us.
Yeah, I guess.
Hey, it did happen to me. It doesn't cheer me up.
But if you have a story, it can't be too terribly fresh, because we cannot be trusted with your emotions. Okay? You have to be able to handle your own emotions. If you want some sensitivity from us, don't call.
Right.
Because when God was handing out sensitivity, we missed that line. So.
But if you're far enough away from it that you recognize how awesome a story it is for other people to hear, that's the kind of story we want to hear.
1-800-520-1067.
Dear Kevin and Bean, can't call. I'm at work right now, but I had a horrible holiday. I went golfing with my mom and some other friends. They were behind us. Well, cut to the chase. Mom got hit in the head with a golf ball, ended up in the emergency room. Lots of blood, ambulance, emergency room, mild concussion, 5 stitches. She's fine, but what a Christmas.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Thanks to Cindy in Northeast LA. That's what we're talking about. You know, you have expectations for a beautiful, safe, quiet, peaceful holiday. It doesn't always work out that way. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Sarah down in the LBC.
I'm thinking the same thing.
This is exactly what we're talking about.
Sarah, good morning.
Good morning.
So God tried to kill Bean with a tree, splitting his car in half. What happened to you?
Well, my husband tried to kill me.
Oh.
We were coming home from a bar in Long Beach, and he got a DUI, and then we found out that one of the cars he hit was a DEA car.
A drug enforcement car.
All right.
Drug enforcement agency vehicle.
Excellent.
And then the week before Christmas, the only car we have left, the transmission went out.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to do that.
Right.
And then Christmas Eve, we go to my in-law's house, and everybody in the house gets a gift by me.
That's awesome. Why did they leave you out? On purpose?
On purpose. Because his wife doesn't like me.
Oh.
How about that?
Nice.
That's good times right there. That's beautiful.
Nice.
That was our best Christmas ever.
Sounds like it. Good work. Thank you for the call.
Happy holidays. You know, a couple of years ago, I ended up in the emergency room 2 days before Christmas. Remember, I had one of those back things
where
I was just heavily sedated for days. It was just, it was awful. I think this Christmas was actually worse, but that is one of my most memorable holidays.
Lulu in North Hollywood. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa Mae.
Hi, Lulu.
Bad holidays. What happened?
Well, I decided to buy myself a brand new motorcycle for Christmas. It was also my 40th birthday.
That's exciting.
And while I was leaving the dealership lot coming out of the driveway with 0 miles on it, I crashed it into a parked car.
Oh, my God.
No. You had just purchased the motor. What kind of motorcycle was it?
I bought a GSXR 600. Nice fairing that was destroyed.
And it had no miles on it. And
0 miles.
Pulling out of the dealership.
And I hit a car. I had no insurance because I was going to do that when I got home.
Oh, no.
Awesome.
And destroyed my right leg, so I was laid up for the holiday. Oh, yeah, it was very pretty.
You rule.
Motorcycles are dangerous.
Is there any kind of prize? Do we have anything we can give Lulu? Because that's one of the greatest things I've ever heard
about. Yeah, but we're going to give her a t-shirt. That'll make it all better.
I'm just saying. I don't know if we got anything in the prize.
We'll try and find something for you, Lulu.
Well, thank you.
That's
very
spectacular.
Much.
I mean, most people.
It's still being fixed at this moment.
And you know why, Lulu? I'm sure you do, because I went through the same thing. I wrecked a car maybe 2 or 3 weeks after I got it, and they don't make parts yet for vehicles or motorcycles.
2007,
That are that new.
Oh, you're kidding.
The parts aren't on the market yet.
Oh,
so it'll sit there for a month while they wait for parts.
Yeah.
So good work, Lulu.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Hold on. We're going to try to find something.
Let's go to Brianna in Brea, which, by the way, Kevin couldn't say. There's no way to actually introduce her. But Brianna, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kira, go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Brianna.
What happened to you?
Roof collapsed during dinner.
How? Why?
Did you say the roof collapsed?
Yeah, it did. My sister has sprinklers in her house, and apparently there had been a steady leak for a while, but nobody knew. And then it just happened to finally decide to collapse on Christmas during dinner over us, but... it nailed her dog the most.
On Christmas Day, the roof fell in.
Yeah.
Everything just caved in and nailed her dog, and her poor little dog is now wandering around limping with that cone thing over its head.
Oh, the cone thing's sad. You know what that dog needs to do? It needs to go to the Ritz-Carlton and get a massage.
Yes.
Exactly. We're going to talk to them next hour.
We're going to talk to them after 9 o'clock about that. Wow. So what? Could you see the sky from the dinner table, or wasn't that bad?
No, because it's a two-story house.
Okay, all right.
And we were downstairs, so we could actually look up into the roof, the second floor.
Excellent.
Oh, my God.
Wow, what the hell happened?
That's good times right there.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Was.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Let's go to Stacy in Anaheim. This is a little bit different. We're talking about bad holiday stories here in the first week of 2007. Stacy, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Stacy.
Hi, Stacy.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
What happened to you?
Well, about the weekend before Thanksgiving, my boyfriend that I was living with, that I, you know, was all up in his family, and we did everything together 24/7,
right.
And we were just like happy little peas in a pod.
Mm-hmm.
Decides that it's time for me to leave.
Ooh, he broke up with you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Happy holidays.
Yeah,
happy
just holidays. Before Thanksgiving.
But you're living together. Yeah. What happened?
So, and my whole family loved him, so they thought, you know, something was wrong with me.
Sure.
So now they're not speaking.
What did you do, Stacy? That's what your dad's saying.
Exactly. I'm heinous.
So where'd you go? Anyway. What'd you do?
Well, I lived in my car for a couple weeks.
Oh, are during you the holidays, you lived in your car?
Oh yeah. Put all my stuff in storage, and I couldn't find an apartment. I had to leave town for Christmas because my family was calling me, a smoking, drinking, adulterous whore.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they wouldn't take you in?
You got some good family support. That's good to see.
Yeah.
My God.
He's still got my cat. Because I can't have, I finally did get like this crummy little one bedroom apartment.
Yeah. Well, and you're better without the cat anyway. Cat's
bad. Hey, Stacy, Lisa asked a good question here. Your family, who obviously is disappointed in you, they would let you sleep, they would let you live in your car before they'd give you a spare room in their house?
I spent exactly two nights at my dad's house, a couple nights at my cousin's house.
Oh, my God.
My friend, everybody bailed on.
I think you deserved it. Frankly, I think it's you. I really, that's just my sense I'm getting from this call.
Because so the whole family turned against
you. You're saying where there's smoke, there's got to be fire?
I've always been the black sheep. This has been an ongoing 20 years.
Well, let's not make it a race thing. No, she didn't say that.
Oh.
You didn't say that.
Wow, Stacy, that's bad.
It sucks to be you. Thank you for the call, though.
Thank you for calling. All right, we don't have a lot of time to get to the rest of these, but we do have to take one, I think, and that is TJ.
Hello,
from
everybody.
Irvine. Hi, TJ.
Hi, TJ.
Hi.
Now, TJ, this better be good because we're passing on Kevin in Valencia, whose one-year-old dumped hot coffee on his nuts, okay? So you're going to have to beat that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, my fiance's stepmom is a racist, and 4 hours before our Christmas Eve dinner, she called to make sure that no other black people were going to be at the dinner.
Aside from you?
Beside me, and she wanted to make sure that my mom and my uncle and my aunt were going to be there.
What?
Because what would happen if you got two black people in the same room? I mean, she worried that a race riot was going to break out?
She would freak out. She's an open racist, and just she didn't want any more black people to get any free food.
See, TJ, TJ, that's where you and I are different, because I would have called every single family member, friend. I would have walked up and down the neighborhood. I would have showed up there with 100 black people.
I thought about that. She told us to stay 10 feet away from her at the dinner, and that not to give her any gifts, because if we did, she would throw them back in our faces.
Oh, my God. What does her son say, the one that you're engaged to?
Everybody in the family, that's his stepmom, and everyone in the family knows that she's just crazy, so they just let her be crazy.
But why do they, like, even go to her house and spend time with a woman like that? Why do they even give her, you know, treat her with that kind of courtesy?
Exactly my point. It was at his sister's house, and his dad bought the dinner, so...
Did your fiance do the right thing and not go as well?
No, he went. We went, and it was a very tense situation, but we did go.
Oh. That's unbelievable. I hope you, like, always threaten to touch her. Like, you walk up to her, just, like, put your hands right after her face and go, ooh, I'm going to get some of it on you.
Too close to, you know, in her personal space. Look at me. I'm pretty close to you. What are you going to do?
Oh, you look like you're getting darker just standing next to me. Oh, TJ, that's so sad. You got to figure out a way to, you and your fiance have got to figure out a way to distance yourself from that woman.
Distance?
Oh, absolutely.
Puppy Lake. Puppy Lake for mother-in-law.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, TJ. Happy holidays to you, I guess.
All right. Bye now.
I hate white people.
I'm sorry, Psycho Mike. I wasn't paying attention. What was the name of that song we're just listening to?
Oh, that song's called Dance, Dance.
That's right. Hey, Kevin, you were out of the country. Yep. Every day, it seems like we bring up another story that you hadn't heard about yet because you were in freaking Africa where they don't necessarily have the access to Hollywood. So maybe you missed this story. I know you're a big sports fan. Bobby Knight in the record books now as the winningest coach in the history of NCAA men's basketball.
Oh, no kidding.
It was actually kind of awesome because there was a, you know, countdown because this is the game where he's going to tie it and then they won. And then the next one, this is the game where he's going to win it and hold it for his own. And then he won that one too, which was awesome because usually whenever there's a record, like you're waiting for a guy to hit the right number of home runs or something, usually you have to wait through like 30 games before they finally do it. But Bobby Knight took care of business, 880 wins in NCAA basketball, too. And we thought, hey, you know what? Let's put in the request. Why not? Everybody wants to talk to the coach. And I think we've got Bobby Knight himself on the phone with us right now. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean and whoever the hell else is listening. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you on, Coach. I understand you've had a very, very exciting week down there in Lubbock, Texas, and we couldn't congratulate you more, sir.
Well, thanks a lot.
I guess your people were calling us this time, and we were unaware of the fact that you have broken some kind of a record, correct?
Jesus H. Christ, what rock have you been living? Yes, I broke the goddamn record of the most wins of any college basketball coach in the history of the NCAA, you dumbass.
That's why.
You didn't have your head so far up your... Oh, you know that.
All right. God. Coach, again, we got to remind you about the language. We've got the FCC regulations. We thought that maybe now that you're the undisputed career victory leader with 880 wins in NCAA ball, you might, I don't know, it might give you the opportunity to relax a little bit and not kind of be so uptight all the time, not scream at everybody, and just kind of enjoy what you've accomplished after your hard, hard, long career.
Who says I'm uptight?
Well,
what the kind of bullshit is that?
You sound...
Hey, listen now. Listen.
All right.
Listen.
All right.
Jesus H. Christ. What,
right.
By the way, do you know what the H stands for in Jesus H. Christ?
No.
I don't believe so, no.
It stands for how the f*** should I know what it stands for, dumbass? By the way, just because I use a little colorful language to get my point across doesn't mean I'm some kind of... goddamn maniac, okay? Okay, just because I sprinkle in a little forceful language, all right, dumbass?
Well,
you listening?
Well, you
doesn't mean I'm f***ing Saddam Hussein and need to be strung up by my neck. People think I'm like f***ing Michael Richards,
well,
you know, running around screaming he's a n***.
Okay.
Coach,
kind of
you have to stop using that kind of language, please. And I think part of the problem is you're throwing the chair on the floor, you're choking that player. I mean, you've done some things that have earned you that reputation, don't you think?
Regrets. I've had a few.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
But then again, too few to mention.
Yeah.
Well, that is your theme song.
Of course,
yeah.
I've done some things that I could have done better, but who the f*** hasn't? What? Tell me if you've lived your life and you never did one f***ing thing you weren't embarrassed about.
Well,
I've seen your website, okay?
Oh, no.
I see two grown men wearing baggy shorts like they just hopped off a f***ing skateboard.
Okay.
Right?
Listen.
And you've got the f***ing nerve to talk to me about being embarrassed about a few f***ing things.
Listen,
you son of a bitch.
We're just congratulating you on having the most wins in the NCAA. That's what we're...
Yeah, but then you make implications that I'm some kind of f***ing goddamn mother f***ing maniac, you stupid son of a bitch.
Well, it's just you sound a little...
You can suck my dick, you
all right,
goddamn sucking mother f***.
It's always that.
I said mother f***.
All right.
Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
I'd like some mad props.
Okay, mad props to you, Ralph.
Thank you.
For what?
For getting a story right. This coming from a listener. Ralph, this is from the KTLA News. I just wanted to prove that you're right on when you heard about El Kikui stabbing his son.
What?
Really?
Are you kidding?
I thought you were kidding.
LA police went to Almendarez's home. Apparently, it's El Kikui's real name in Northridge around 7 a.m. Monday in response to a call of a domestic dispute involving his wife.
Right.
Okay.
There are reports that El Kikui made threats to his wife and the police officer on the scene and that his 28-year-old son had a knife wound to his chest.
Oh, my God.
Police say the son intervened in the dispute between his parents and then left the house with his father. A knife was confiscated at the scene.
Wow.
Ha! How do you like me now? My Spanish isn't so rusty after all.
I thought meant like kid, and it didn't, I thought you were making it up. Wow.
You know, this show is going to be number one, the way morning DJs are dropping like flies this week.
That's a good
Excellent.
Point.
We just got to keep eliminating them one by one.
We got rid of Damacek. Yeah. We got that. All right, check that on off. Jamie, right. Frosty, Heidi, Frankie, Stinky, Smelly, Dopey, and Sneezy. They're all gone.
Right. They're gone, right. Now
El Kikui's going to be in the slammer.
Right.
Our evil plan is working perfectly.
Stabbing his son in the chest.
How do you like me now?
Jeez.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Wow.
Yeah. This guy says he saw it on
Why would you say yeah?
Because he's Mike.
This listener said he saw it on Channel 5, and they were interviewing the son, and the son actually pulled the bandage off his chest to prove that it was just a scratch, just a flesh wound. Nothing too serious.
Oh, so the son's not pressing charges or anything
like
that?
No, apparently not. He says that the son here, according to, again, our listener, says he saw this interview on Channel 5, I guess, and the son said it was just an accident. People have accidents all the time.
With knives.
Dad slipped on some soap and fell into me with the knife.
And the knife flew across the room and hit me right in the chest. But it was an accident.
Yeah, it can happen to anybody.
Wow.
So there you go. How you like me now?
I do.
I take it back. You were right.
Martha Stewart is backing Rosie O'Donnell in her feud with Donald Trump. Is Martha Stewart somebody you want on your side, really?
No. Never.
No.
Apparently, she had her own problems with Donald back in the day when she had her version of The Apprentice that failed in the ratings, and Donald blamed her and said some unkind things about her.
That's right.
So Martha is rising to Rosie's defense. In Touch magazine reports that Martha sent Rosie a bunch of roses in support, and the roses had thorns on them still, and the note said, "Be careful of pricks."
Yay! I'm just very, very sorry that it's come to this.
Trust me, Martha. Rosie steers way clear of pricks.
That is true.
No trouble there.
She's repulsed by them.
She is completely safe in that department.
You know, I know it's cheaper to keep a bad show on that already has some name recognition than it is to put on a new show, but does the world need another Apprentice coming soon to a TV near you?
It's the Los Angeles Apprentice,
yeah,
though.
But dude, it's in LA.
It changes everything.
The Apprentice was great when it started, and we were all fascinated to see Donald Trump and to see how he worked and to see the tasks that they put people through. But aren't we like seven seasons in on this thing now? Let it go.
Don't you get it? It's in L.A.
Yes, I get it.
It's radically different now.
Yeah, I'm out.
When Donald says, "You're fired," the sun will be setting in the west.
Right, it was before.
You won't see it rising in the east. Because it's on the other coast now.
I see. So you can only see it set.
Exactly.
I'll watch then.
It's going to be great. Speaking of TV shows that have outlived their ratings longevity, The O.C. is being canceled by Fox at the end of this season.
It was a great show in its day.
Yeah, apparently it's getting now about half of what its regular ratings were during its four-season run. So Fox has decided this is the opportunity to say goodbye. The series and season finale will be February 22nd. Sorry, OC fans.
They said goodbye when they moved to Thursday nights at 9.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that's just an impossible. Impossible.
I guess Misha Barton knew what she was talking about. She's like, could you kill me now, please? I gotta go before the show goes in the dumper. And the SAG nominations have been released this morning. These are always pretty good indicators.
They're for sad movies or sad songs? What?
SAG.
SAG.
SAG nominations. Not the SAD nominations. SAG.
They're for bad boobs?
Screen Actors Guild. The nominations, this award is given to actors by actors, and is a pretty good indicator of what the acting awards will look like for the Emmys and the Oscars. Here are some of the nominations. Best actor in a leading role in a movie, Leonardo DiCaprio for Blood Diamond, Ryan Gosling for Half Nelson. Pretty amazing performance he gave in that. Peter O'Toole for Venus, Will Smith, The Pursuit of Happiness, and Forrest Whitaker for The Last King of Scotland. Pursuit of Happiness, I haven't seen it, but people say it's real good.
That's pretty good. I saw it.
I know Will's serious because he's got gray in his hair, so I know he's not fooling around.
He's got a mustache,
too. Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
How's his boy as an actor? It
great.
Me boy
a little
is
odd
awesome.
That out of all the kids in the world, he was the most talented one for that role.
Well, honestly, he's terrific.
Of course he wasn't, but he's great. I mean,
I think he was better than Will.
He's really good. He's,
okay.
He's cute. You buy it.
He's got jeans.
Yeah. He's wearing jeans, right. He's good.
Outstanding performance by a female actor in a leading role, Penelope Cruz for Volver. Judi Dench, Notes on a Scandal. Helen Mirren for The Queen, Kate Winslet, Little Children, and Meryl Streep, The Devil Wears Prada. I haven't seen this.
I'm sorry. Tough category this year. Those are all five roles that everybody's raving about.
I haven't seen this Little Children with Kate Winslet, but I heard she gets naked in it.
Oh. Yes, that's what I hear too.
Almost all of these movies.
Supporting actor, Alan Arkin for Little Miss Sunshine, Eddie Murphy, Dreamgirls, Damon Hounsou for Blood Diamond, Jackie Earle Haley for Little Children, and Leonardo DiCaprio for The Departed. Adriana Barraza leads off Best Supporting Actress in a Movie with her performance in Babel. Cate Blanchett, Notes on a Scandal. Abigail Breslin for Little Miss Sunshine. Jennifer Hudson for Dreamgirls. And Rinko Kikuchi for Babel. The nominations for TV acting. This is a rough, rough category. James Gandolfini, Michael C. Hall, Huey Laurie, James Spader, and Kiefer Sutherland all nominated for Best Male Performance by an Actor in a Lead Drama Series.
Michael C. Hall. Dexter, Showtime. Please watch it. Back to you.
Dude, Hugh Laurie.
But have you seen Dexter?
Did you watch this season, Hugh Laurie, with the drug addiction and dealing with that cop?
I didn't see all of them.
Oh, then you, sir.
No, he's spectacular. I give you that. But Dexter is also an unbelievable show on Showtime. You got to watch that.
Trisha Arquette, Edie Falco, Mariska Hargitay, Kira Sedgwick, and Chandra Wilson nominated for Best Female Actor in a Drama Series. Jeremy Piven, Steve Carell, Alec Baldwin, Jason Lee, and Tony Shalhoub for Comedy. Megan Mullally for Will and Grace.
What?
Oh, my God.
Felicity Huffman, America Ferrera, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Mary Louise Parker, and Jamie Presley.
Didn't Will and Grace go off the air in, like, 2000? Well, how are they still getting nominated?
I don't know, but I'm just glad that freaking Jack didn't get any. Sean Hayes. Yeah. I just don't want him nominated for anything. And outstanding performance by ensemble cast in a drama series, 24, Boston Legal, Deadwood, Grey's Anatomy, and The Sopranos. And for a comedy, Desperate Housewives, Entourage, The Office, Ugly Betty, and Weeds. So, some good acting nominations there. Sunday, January 28th on TBS and TNT. You can watch the SAG Awards if you're so inclined.
We are heading into award season quickly. I think Golden Globes are like 10 days from now or something. And then it's just off and running. It's every week there'll be another award show.
Today's celebrity birthday is Michael Stipe from REM, turns 46 years old.
If you get a chance to interview him, leap at it. Because he's a great interview.
And the laugh riot.
He's a party, man.
Man.
Laugh, I thought I'd cry.
He loved us. He wouldn't let us go.
Him, with the Polish jokes. Don't get him started on the Polish jokes.
Oh, really?
He can go all night long. Cracks me up. Dave Foley from News Radio and Kids in the Hall, 44 years old today. And Julia Ormond. Sabrina in the movie Sabrina did a bunch of movies a couple years ago, 42 years old today. I almost forgot to mention that Benjamin Darville, harmonica player for the Crash Test Dummies, is 40 years old today.
Oh, man. Getting a lot of angry emails.
Yeah. I apologize to all you CTD fans, but Benjamin Darville, harmonica player for Crash Test Dummies, is 40 years old today. So I just had to squeeze that one in. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Lisa, we're going to have to ask you to leave the room here. I'm sorry.
Why?
Because we don't want you to be part of this.
By the way, Lisa can stay. Psycho Mike needs to go. He's the worst pet parent of the group.
He totally is. He's way worse than me.
He has redefined pet parent in this show. I mean, for folks who didn't hear, his Christmas card only included an image of Lola, his little rat dog in a Santa suit. That was it. He wasn't on it. His beautiful wife wasn't on it. Just little Lola. So maybe you're right. Maybe Mike shouldn't be here. We welcome to the program the director of spa services with the beautiful Ritz-Carlton Hotel in Sarasota, Florida. Ritz-Carlton.com is the website. Darlene Davison, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here.
Hi, Darlene.
Thank you. I'm sure you're getting calls from all over the world because the press release went out and you got something called the Privileged Pup Pet Massage Program at your hotel.
Absolutely.
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
What are you doing, Darlene? What's going on here?
Our first and only question is, what are you doing?
Well, as you know, the Ritz-Carlton, one of our service values is a way to look to enhance our Ritz-Carlton guest experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I know firsthand, I'm a tremendous pet lover, and I know firsthand that the program works, so we decided to put together the pet massage program.
Okay, now, let me just interrupt you and say that we are also pet lovers. We all love dogs.
Okay.
But we also have a pet peeve about people who treat their dogs as if they're human. We call them pet parents, and they scare us.
Most of our hotel guests that come to our hotel are probably those pet parents that you're talking about. So we take care of the two-legged guest and the four-legged guest as well. Pets receive the same benefits from massage that we receive. It enhances their muscle tone. It helps to increase flexibility. It reduces their muscle tension, stimulates circulation, all that kind of good stuff that it does for us, it does for them.
But, Darlene, here's what I don't understand. Don't you, if you own a pet, spend a lot of your time petting and rubbing?
I actually give my dog massages on the back, her hindquarters, because they're kind of sensitive.
We don't want to hear what you do. But
that's she gets wonderful. Stiff.
But I'm saying, what I'm saying is, you bring a dog to the spa, and then you give it a spa package. What are you doing?
The dogs are not allowed in the spa. That is a law. We do not do the massages in the spa. We take a table and we bring a table up to the guest room, and we give the animal a massage, and we also give the owners a lesson and to teach them how to take care of their dog in the privacy of their own home. There is a difference between petting and massaging. I mean, we're all certified.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of cool.
Let me ask this question.
Learn how to do it right.
Let me ask this question. Do you give them regular water, or do you bring them a bottle of Evian?
They have a bottle of Evian.
Okay.
Well, yes. Kevin, a dog can't drink tap water.
Some
we all
dogs
know
just
absolutely.
Look up their nose
absolutely
at regular
not.
Water.
The pet industry has absolutely exploded, and by the end of this year, it should be a $38 billion industry. And I personally am thrilled that the pets are getting their due reward.
Listen, again, we worship pets, and we're fine with that. I just want you to know, and I want to talk to you in about a year.
Okay.
Because you're inviting pet parents to come to your hotel, and pet parents are crazy.
They are crazy. That's
true. They're out of their minds, and we're going to call you a year from now, Darlene, and you're going to say, wow, you were right. That was a bad idea. We invited the wrong element to our hotel.
We love it.
Darlene, is there any indication that the dogs are comfortable with the massage, that they actually do enjoy it?
Absolutely. I have had animals fall asleep in my hand giving them a massage. They start out, we do 3 assessment strokes to get their level of acceptance on touching. And once you do that and they gain your confidence, the massage actually can last 10 minutes or it has lasted as long as an hour. You will actually see the animal relax in your hands. They press up against you. The animal is in control when we do the massage. If they want to be on the table, we can do it on the table. If they want to be on the floor, the techs get on the floor and we do the massage on the floor.
Just a second. I'm sorry, Darlene. Cesar Millan, the animal is in control.
This is ridiculous. You must be the alpha dog. You must be the trendsetter, the trailblazer. You are the prom queen. The dog is simply someone who is lucky enough to be in your presence. This lady is obviously out of her mind.
But Cesar, all she's trying to do is make the dogs feel better, make the dogs more relaxed and happy. What's wrong with that?
I don't want to make the dogs feel better. I want to make them feel like submissive slaves to me. Okay? I see. She has the wrong idea.
That's how Cesar rolls.
Okay.
I understand.
All right. So you're Ritz-Carlton Sarasota, which I've never been, but I understand.
Yes,
a beautiful, beautiful hotel. I mean, it's like one of the jewels down there, from what I understand. And you have Ritz-Carlton's all over the country. Is this going to spread? Are we going to see this at the Southern California Ritz-Carlton here soon?
We don't know. We are the pilot hotel, the inspiration for the whole hotel, and there's a lot of our hotels that are pet-friendly, and I've been getting a lot of calls from a lot of the spa directors, so don't be surprised if you see it in some of the other Ritz-Carlton
hotels. Pet-friendly is good, Darlene. Pet parents will scare the hell out of you.
All I know is there's a homeless guy listening right now down on Venice with a stolen transistor radio, and he's hearing about the $130 pet massage with the dog biscuit and the Evian water, and he's thinking, I got to get me some of that. I should have been born a dog. Why couldn't I have been born a dog?
You're going to have to come to Sarasota with your beloveds and let us show you firsthand, because when you see the animal's eyes and you see their body reaction when they have a massage, it gives you a whole different reflect on the actual massage, because it really is a wellness treatment for the animal.
Do you end up the massage with the dog by yelling at the person? Why don't you do this? It's your dog. This is your pet. You should do this.
Absolutely not.
You don't.
The response that we've gotten from the owners has been so positive, because we literally teach you how to take care of the dog and massage the dog. We give you a full lesson. It's all written out so you can follow the steps.
Listen, sounds great. Everything sounds fantastic. The dogs are going to love it. I'm telling you, a year from now, you're going to want to hang yourself.
Okay.
I'm telling you, that's what's going to happen. I'm just giving you a little glimpse of the future.
You call me back in a year and we'll talk about it.
All right.
Go to ritzcarlton.com for more details. And again, this is the Sarasota location. Darlene, you sound like a very nice lady, a little crazy, but very nice. And we want to thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Bye now. Someone else has to talk. I'm still eating.
And Sean Connery.
You're not eating another one of those freaking bars, are you? One of those granola
bars? No, God, no. I don't have that kind of moisture left.
Hey, congratulations to Jay Hudson from Costa Mesa, March 11th, Anaheim Arena. He'll be seeing My Chemical Romance and is qualified for the drawing we do tomorrow to send you to Glasgow, Scotland for destination number one of K-Rock's World Tour 2007. Right now, 1-800-520-1067. Get on the line, get on the air, win a pair of tickets to see the Kings versus the Wed Wings, as Kevin so affectionately calls them. They'll be playing Staples Center Saturday night. Also, passes to the Kings tailgate party hosted by our own Striker. Which reminds me, we have to start with Clint in La Mirada, because if there's a celebrity with a tail, I need to know about it.
Good morning.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do, nephew?
Lisa May, how are you?
Hi, Clint. I'm good.
What's going on?
I'm good. You guys will not believe this.
Please.
Sitting at home, thinking about Stryker's tail.
Right.
And I'm watching History of Violence.
Great movie.
With Viggo Mortensen. The part where he's attacking his wife sexually on the stairs.
Maria Bello.
Great scene.
He's got a tail.
What?
He does not.
He's got a tail.
Viggo Mortensen does not have a tail.
He's got a tail.
He's check it out.
Are you sure?
I pause it, rewind it. The bump's out. It's sticking out. It's a tail.
Okay, it couldn't just be like a bone at the bottom of his spine?
It's coccyx. Easy with that.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a tail.
It's a tail. You're saying Viggo Mortensen has a tail.
A celebrity tail.
If we go look at that movie and he doesn't, we're going to cut your legs off at the knees.
Yeah, there should be some sort of retribution. We need this guy's number or something that we can call back and give him help. There's no chance.
For wasting our time.
Trust me.
We're not trusting you. We don't know you, Clint.
Yeah, I mean, that movie's been out a long time. No one's ever said anything about it.
I know. It's weird.
All right. Yeah, we're going to take your phone number.
It's really weird. No one's seen it before, Clint.
It is.
You hold on, Clint. We're going to take your phone number and address.
You got it.
Something's going to go very wrong for you if he doesn't have a tail.
Listen, Psycho Mike to your house to nail a tail under your ass if he doesn't have one.
I will tell you, in Clint's defense, there are plenty of people writing about it online. Did anyone else notice the tail that Viggo appears to have during the sex scene on the stairs is one of them?
No.
Yeah, I mean, there are other people who are writing about it, but when will there be a U.S. Magazine expose on Viggo Mortensen's tail? Finally, someone noticed the tail, blah, 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 blah. But
oh, my God.
I saw the movie. I sure don't remember it.
Mike, can you imagine if they had, like, a tail growing out of his spine there? Can you imagine what that would feel like?
Let's stop.
If you were run your hand over it, can you imagine?
It's like 3-4 inches. And the worst part is he has such a firm, ripe ass. For it to ruin it with a tail,
That would be Mike.
I was trying to make Mike nauseous. Now I'm feeling
Mike
nauseous.
Mike was thrown up last time we were talking about this. That's what Ralph was going for.
Pretty spectacular.
All right, let's go on to Wesley, who is calling from Linwood. Good morning, Wesley.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
What do you do, nephew?
What do you do?
What's going on?
Well, what do you do, nephew? Right on. Did you guys watch Beauty and the Geek last night?
Yeah.
Is this the new season?
I watched it.
Is it a new season?
Yeah, it was a premiere last night.
Oh.
It was our season premiere. Oh, my gosh. There's this dramatic black chick in that show. It's so annoying.
Yeah, Tori. I'm sorry Tori got the boot because she was the most entertaining one on the show.
No, seriously.
She was a model on the show, for you guys who didn't see it, and she refused to do anything. You know, like the chicks have to research, they have to read books and stuff and try to improve their minds.
Right.
Didn't do a goddamn thing.
Yeah, and then she tried to blame on the Iranian guy or whatever he's...
I didn't know they had a new season of this on. It's spectacular because they're hot chicks and they're book smart geek guys.
Yeah.
One guy wore his Star Trek uniform to the final ceremony to see whether he got voted off.
Yeah,
or not.
That was dope.
That rules.
No.
But this woman, the girls had to read Freakonomics. You've read that book,
yeah,
right?
Yes. It's fascinating.
And then at the end, they surprised them saying, okay, here's one of your challenges. You have to interview one of the authors of Freakonomics and talk about his book as if you were a news anchor or something.
Right.
So the black chick just threw the book away when she got it and never cracked it. So she's panicking going through pages before the guy walks on the set, and she apparently saw something about parenting in it and asked him for a half an hour questions about parenting, raising children. The guy was finally like, this has nothing to do
with it.
Yeah.
That's
great.
Awesome.
Great episode.
When is it on? It's on Wednesday nights?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wednesday night.
All right. Fantastic.
Excellent.
Beauty and the Geek. Got to see that. Let's go to Danny, who is calling from Huntington Beach. Good morning, Danny.
What's up? What's your nephew?
What are you doing, my friend?
I was just honestly curious. Do you guys honestly get hounded when you guys walk around the streets or like celebrities do?
Oh, constantly. The paparazzi, the crowds. I can't shop on Rodeo anymore.
Wait a minute. I have a driver.
Yeah, Lisa has a hard time.
She's terrible. I know what's going on here. You just want the tickets, right?
No, honestly, I was curious because, you know, you see celebrities all the time. They get hounded. But you guys on the radio, and you guys are big celebrities. I'm saying,
yeah, that's us.
No, your first mistake is thinking that we're celebrities of any stature. And second of all, it's radio, so no one knows what we look like, really. So how would they stop us on the street?
Well, the website, of course.
Danny, I'm telling you, about once every couple of weeks, someone cool just walks by and goes, hey, nice show. Boom, and that's it. It's beautiful.
I hate to disagree with you guys. I ran into a little bit of trouble when my Two for the Money was out, the film I did with Al Pacino. I got to tell you, during the time that I was in theaters, a lot of people would come up to me and go, dude, you weren't in it very much. I mean, that's the one thing that did happen a lot.
That was
me.
That was Ralph.
You look like you had some scenes that were just cut right out of the film. Yeah. What's up, Bean?
Oh, I wish another tree would fall on something of yours.
That was Ralph.
Let's go to Sal in L.A., by the way, because this is a story I don't know very much about. I heard a little bit about it, but maybe Sal can fill in the blanks here. What's going on, Sal? What'd it do, nephew?
You know, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, nephew?
Last night, watching the Sugar Bowl, Howie Long, Terry Bradshaw were talking about this one, I guess a receiver from LSU that's legally blind from one eye and horrible sight from the other.
What?
And maybe you can help me out with this, Ralph, and they said that at first they thought it was a joke, and no, it was. He actually got laser surgery for his eyes. But they tell him, well, how would you catch the ball? He says, well, there were three of them. I'd always catch the one in the middle.
No, oh,
Wait a minute. But the guy that's playing now, he had them fixed?
Now he had them fixed, but he was playing, I believe, a couple of years ago. He was playing with horrible sight.
I think in his high school career or something, he was playing with vision impairment.
Is there a worst position to put a guy with bad eyesight at than trying to find a football that's going through the air?
So they actually, Howie Long said he interviewed him, and when he asked him, he goes, so do you have a girlfriend? He goes, well, not anymore. And he goes, oh, what happened? He goes, I got my eyesight fixed.
Nice.
And he took it as a joke, but the guy said, no, I'm serious. He goes, once I got my eyesight,
That's weird. Yeah, he was wearing contacts. I guess he had real heavy contact lenses in, but without them, he could not even make out the features on your face. I mean, he was that blind.
Wow.
He'd be 3 feet away, and he wouldn't be able to tell nothing on your face. Nothing.
That's amazing.
That guy rules.
Yeah,
he's better than all of us. Thank you, Sal. Let's go to Kelly in Yorba Linda. Kelly has a question. Good morning, Kelly.
Hey, good morning. What's up, Lisa May?
Hey, Kelly.
What's happening?
It's my 21st birthday today, and I was wondering what was up. Maybe do something cool.
You want us to hang out with you?
Yeah,
way to think ahead, first of all, Kelly. There was no way to know your 21st birthday was coming until you woke up this morning and looked at the calendar, right?
Here's what's funny. He calls us as if we've known this is coming and have a big plan.
So what do you want to do? Guys, what's going on today for my birthday, huh? What's happening?
About 10 to 10.
And make it a little better.
It's my birthday. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Give you some Kings tickets, I guess.
That'd be sick.
Yeah, you can't really go today, but it's Saturday.
It's
Saturday.
It's close to your birthday.
You can say it's a birthday celebration.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Do we want him in a
You got nothing yourself going on today for your birthday?
I'm at work right now.
Well, yeah, but you don't have any friends or anything that are going to go out tonight? Or
yeah, I'm going out to dinner, but I thought maybe after that you guys had something. What'd you do for your 21st birthday?
Drank.
Yeah.
Heavily. You know what the problem is? The problem is fake IDs. That's the problem. Because now it's not a big deal to turn 21 anymore. Because by then you're already an AA.
Right.
You've already lived it up. That's the problem.
Good point.
I had friends and family who threw me a massive party on my 21st birthday.
Yeah.
Sounds like Kelly's missing that.
Kelly, we're gonna
both of those things, friends and family.
We're going to put you on hold and give you Ralph's address.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
He's got a big party planned for you tonight.
Hang out.
He is not an enthusiastic 21-year-old, is he?
Uh-uh.
Hey, 21, what's going on?
What's going on for my birthday?
You guys know anything?
He's a homo.
I didn't say that.
True, but come at the guy.
All right. Do we have time for Manuel? Because this is a funny story. You see these on the news all the time, but I've never actually spoken with someone who's done it.
Manuel, good morning.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
Well, what it do, nephew?
Okay, so yesterday was my first day of school. I go to Cal State, LA.
Mm-hmm.
I just purchased a 2006 Honda Civic,
mm-hmm.
and it is stick shift. It was what I can afford. I guess automatic was $2,000 more.
Right.
And I got out of the car. Well, I parked. I got out of the car. I didn't put up my e-brake. I didn't put it in gear. I get out of class.
Wait a minute. You left it in neutral?
I left it in neutral, yeah.
No parking brake on.
I'm used to driving automatic, so.
Uh-huh. Right. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
So I get out of class. I go back to the spot that I was parked at, and my car is gone. Dude, I'm freaking out. I thought somebody stole my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I look down the way, and some guy's waving me down. I run down. I notice it was my car, so I run down there, and he's like, man, dude, where you been? I've been holding your car forever. So he was holding my car while I was in class, and I was...
Your car rolled down a hill.
Yeah.
Why did a guy have to babysit it? Why didn't he just put it in gear?
I guess he was holding it because it was in the middle of the road. So he was like, kind of like,
stopping traffic. And
that's funny.
It would have kept rolling if he had let it go.
Everybody's honking at him. Get out of the way, a-hole!
Cat holding a car!
Oh, my God.
Actually, it would have hit another car if he wouldn't have held it.
I'm sure.
Dude, this guy saved your ass.
Yeah, he did.
Wow, you're dumb. Drink,
but he's all, I'm late for class, jerk, thanks. And I was like, oh.
Really? So he just left? He was cool about it. He just held your car and then left.
How long would you hold someone's car?
2 minutes?
Yeah, it's going to be a...
Well, anyway, this car belong to anybody? Nope.
Okay.
Hands off, man.
I mean, did my good deed.
You might put the parking brake on so it doesn't move, and flashers or something, but then you're gone.
What if it's locked?
Did you lock it?
Did you lock your car?
Did I lock it?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
You did.
Well, how
did he
locked it?
How did he stop it then if it was locked?
I don't know.
He's a strong man.
Wow, that's quite a story.
I think his magical douchebag powers just took over.
Could be, yeah. All right, Manuel, don't do that.
Yeah, no, not again.
Okay. Good advice. All right. These are the people we're sending to King's Game. Sorry.
I did not think of putting it, at least the brake or moving the stick someplace.
He explained it. He's been driving an automatic for years.
You have to put the car in park when you park, right?
Exactly.
You have to do some sort of movement.
But he put it in neutral, and to him, that was like putting it in park. He wasn't thinking the further step about, oh my God, now it's in manual, so it'll move.
You also have an emergency brake that you can pull on automatic.
And I always do on mine.
But here's the thing.
But you don't need to usually an automatic.
But here's the thing. Anyway. If you get another car that's a stick shift, you alter your behavior accordingly.
Yes, that's the point he should have recognized.
Does he also not shift when he's driving down the road?
Yeah.
Because it used to do it on its own?
Automatic. His car used to work that way on its own. Why is it my responsibility to move the gears now?
I'm not going
to
shift.
All right. Thank you, Manuel, for the call. And thanks to all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today. And by guest, I mean Darlene Davison, Director of Spa Services for the Ritz-Carlton Sarasota. Ralph, I was ready for you to bust in the room and shoot her hate down the phone because with the pet parents and
no
massages.
Point. We're losing that battle. The pet parents.
We've already lost it.
It's all over.
We're losing it badly,
It's like Battlestar Galactica, man. The Cylons have already won the war. We just have to run, find a new planet. That's all.
Anyone
know what I'm talking about at all?
Hide until the whole passes. I just started watching this show.
How great is that show?
One of the best shows on TV.
Amazing show, isn't it?
Battlestar Galactica. And if you weren't watching it like I wasn't, you go to iTunes, and they have a free download of the story so far, which I think is like 3 seasons, right?
They're in their 3rd season now, yeah.
And they go through and they explain everything that happened.
Catch up.
Did you start with the miniseries?
No, I started with the What Happened So Far thing on iTunes.
Oh, I got you.
That's all I knew what to do. But that's a great show.
The miniseries is on DVD as well as seasons 1 and 2. So it blows me away.
It's a good show.
Great.
So I understood your reference.
Cylons man. Bad news.
Take over and humans have to hide.
Yeah.
That's the bottom
line. Except she's hot. The one Cylon.
She's way hot.
Yeah. We got to talk to her. Why don't we get her on the show?
We should.
Lightning, get us the hot Cylon.
The Cylon, she's like the robot.
Make it so.
She's a robot woman that looks like a real woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cylons!
No, that's science.
Blinding me with science.
A whole different thing. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, it's Friday morning. Finally. Woo! What a week. Man, this has been tiring.
I need a vacation.
Seems like this has been like 7-day work week. This is crazy. Movie beat tomorrow because it's Friday. We also have Bob Dylan on the show. He's got a new take on his satellite radio show. Can't wait for that. We have a guy who lives in his van tomorrow. And
it's down by the river. Oh, man.
And we have a new website to introduce you to that's youparklikeanasshole.com. So that's coming up tomorrow. Plus, don't forget, K-Rock's World Tour 2007, destination number one. You can qualify all day for it by winning My Chemical Romance tickets. Just listen for your chance to call and win. And tomorrow we're going to do the drawing at 7:15. We're going to send somebody to Glasgow, Scotland.
Hoot, man, hoot!
To see My Chemical Romance. That's all tomorrow morning.
Fallout Boy and their new ones, Sublime, Modest Yahoo, 30 Seconds to Mars, Buck Cherry, AFI, and more straight ahead. It's 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock with our friend Cat Corbett right after this.